The James Whale Show on Talk Radio.
Who's this bloke with the grey hair just walked in here? Who are you?
I don't know anybody with grey hair, James.
Security.
Yeah, I mean, how's this bloke just got into the
studio? Ian Lee, isn't it?
Well, no, I was doing my Ian Lee impression. It's not very convincing.
No, but it's a good Howard Hughes impression.
It's a great Howard Hughes impression, though.
Are you Howard Hughes?
Sadly.
Not the crazy aviator, billionaire.
Not the one who lived in a hotel in Las Vegas.
Are you the Howard Hughes who used to do the news with Chris Carron?
Chris Carron,
yeah.
on Camera Radio. Do you know, not many people mention that now, apart from myself.
They probably don't remember.
Well, they probably don't. It's a long time
ignorant,
ago.
Ignorant. Yeah.
I think it's time to get reminding them, really.
Yeah. What are you doing here?
What am I doing?
What's he doing here?
Well, for some reason, they dragged me in to be Ian Lee. I'm going to be Ian Lee after 10 o'clock.
It's going to be Ian Lee and Kath.
And Kath.
You're Ian Lee
probably
and Kath.
A bit more Kath, really, I think, than Ian.
Yeah, man.
You do look a bit like Kath, funnily enough. There is a little bit of Kath going on there, isn't there?
And you haven't asked me about Kylie. Because I did meet Kylie.
Oh, shut up.
Everyone's met her, and everyone else has met her.
She looked at me, and I'm speaking to you here as a veteran man. Oh, my God, look at
that
team of people. James is showing me a photograph here. You can't see this on your radio. One day you'll have the technology to do that. There's Chris Tarrant and a bunch of other people. Are you there? Yes, you are there. You're in the corner.
But Kylie isn't, is she?
But Kylie's not there.
So tell us about when you met Kylie.
Kylie was part of a broadcast that I was doing. She was sitting exactly in the position that you're sitting.
I've told James it's not all that. Anyway, he's not missed that. I mean, it's nice. She's lovely, but you're not missing that great.
She's a lot smaller than people.
A lot smaller. You can put her in your pocket.
4'2". I have a friend who looks exactly like Kylie.
Do you?
Probably not listening.
Still not the same as meeting Kylie.
I know you're probably. But I'd like just to meet Kylie, just to see if she's like this other person I know who's like
on the basis of my meeting with her, I could organise that for you. Sadly, I can't.
Because both of you met her, but not really know her. Kylie, I would like you to come in and spend an hour with me on the radio, and I think we'll hit it off.
I don't think you will. I don't think she'd like him, actually.
I met him. He changed my life. He's a wonderful man. He's a man of great experience. Sorry, that doesn't sound like anything.
She looked at me and
said two words that I will never forget.
And one of them was
off. If I die at the age of 99, no, it wasn't quite there. Most women do, but not
Get
not
out.
Her.
Was it get out?
She looked at me and she said, hello, Howard.
Really?
And I melted. I was like butter. I was like clarified butter all over the floor.
Anyway, Howard Hughes.
Tell us a bit more.
Is here after the news. We're back at 7. Thank you.
Controversial conversation and outspoken opinions.
Howard Hughes
on Talk Radio.
With a box full of records and a bag full of requests. It's Howard Hughes here. I don't know why either. But look, it's the plan for this week. Howard Hughes, Hayley Hayes, say hello, Hayley.
Hi.
Is that all you're going to say?
Oh.
You can say more than hello.
How are you?
We've got 3 hours, you know.
We can hear your life story.
So it's the pair of us tonight and through this week, if we live to tell the tale. Thank you very much, Steve. Nice to hear from you already. If you want to get in touch with us, there are various ways to do it in the way that we did it last week. I can remind you of those if you would like me to. You can tweet us on the Twitter at Talk Radio. If you want to call us, it's 0344-499-1000. If you want to text us, you can text TALK and your message to 87222, and text will cost you 25 pence plus your standard network rate, at which they are astonishing value, Hayley, aren't they? Hey, Freddie Mercury's still going. It's good, isn't he? Well, I don't mean he's still going, but he's still going in the background.
No, I don't think he's still going.
No, I mean, that's a shame, isn't it? There are loads of impersonators. If you look on YouTube... Don't get me started. If you look on YouTube, there's a guy there who does Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh, yeah.
And he's got a keyboard. I mean, it's quite a smart one. It's an electronic keyboard, but it sounds like a real piano. And he does the greatest impression of Freddie Mercury. Mm. He almost sounds better than Freddie himself. He's an American guy.
Let's try and find him. What's his name?
Can we try and find that? Amy, who's doing all the stuff tonight. Only Amy could do this.
Only the clever bits.
Other people may try, but only Hayley can actually do this. Geezer. I can't remember his name. He does Bohemian Rhapsody, and you'll know the video because he's got very nicely coiffed hair. He's about 30. And he's got a microphone that looks like one of the ones we've got here, a long black one, and a keyboard. And from the moment he sings, is this the real life? Is this just fantasy? That is nothing like...
That just sounded just like Freddie.
I know.
It's like he's in the room with me.
But not Freddie Mercury, eh? More like Freddie Starr, God rest his soul. So here we are at Talk Radio, 0344-499-1000. And really, well, what happens in the next 3 hours is not down to Hayley. It's more down to Hayley than me, but it's not really down to Hayley or me. It's down to you. We need to be hearing from you, 0344-499-1000, whichever corner of this. Somebody should have come up with this, with all this, and it's the only time I'll say the word tonight, with all this Brexit stuff that is going on. Why has nobody come up with the headline, Untied Kingdom? Right, rather than United Kingdom, untied. We are, you know, it's just.
You should work in news.
Moving
you know?
The words around, you know, that's the kind of stuff that they used to pay me the good money for back in the day. But look, want to hear from you tonight. Otherwise, you're going to hear more of me. And if you hear me telling my life story, as I constantly tell Hayley, what do I tell you about my life story, Hayley?
It's fascinating.
No, don't you? I mean, there are a million stories, but you've heard them all now. My life story, the short version takes an hour and the long version takes 3 hours. So you don't want to be hearing that. Let's kick it off then. I wonder who we're going to talk to first. I think we should speak with Alan Caddick. Alan in Birmingham. It's been so long. Alan?
Hi, Alan. Hi, Amy.
Are you all right, Alan?
Not my wedding and cap this week.
It was just the two of us. So listen, we last spoke last Wednesday.
Yeah, because it's just done wedding and cap this week.
They're on their holidays.
They're always on their holidays, though. There's always somebody, some poor sap filling in for them. And it's me this week. I think he's got a very good deal, has he, in Leon? I'd love to know what it is. Or maybe he's just got some dirt on the boss. I've no idea. But yeah. He's never
anyway, I wouldn't be telling you with our ad for TV Times.
Oh, have you got an ad for TV Times?
Yep.
You've never done this before, Alan. Oh, here we go.
How do you put together what's ahead on ITV, Channel 4, and TVAM this summer? What's coming in sport? Films. There are hundreds of hours of summer entertainment. Where does it all come together? Complete with all the background features in TV Times every week.
And it was probably back then, Alan, about 5p, wasn't it?
About 1994, it was about 15p.
Mm. Okay. Where do you find these things, Alan?
YouTube.
Okay. And when they were on originally, did you used to watch them then?
It was part of my childhood, because I was born in 1980.
Mm-hmm.
So these would have been part of my childhood.
Right. Well, they were part of my childhood too. But it was a different way of doing it. I mean, we talked about this last week, didn't we? And somebody said, foolishly that they thought that my Patrick Allen impression was good. But there was a guy who used to do an awful lot of these things with a big voice like that.
John Sachs.
And well, there's John Sachs. I mean, John Sachs, no, he was class. There was a style, and we may well have touched on this before here, but there was a style back in the 80s of disc jockey, and they all sounded the same. There's a guy who worked here called Mike Allen. He worked on our sister station Talk Sport years ago. And many other stations. He was a great talk jockey and disc jockey. And there were a whole lot of people like Roger Scott and Mike Allen, John Saxon. They all sort of sounded a little bit like sort of this. And it was, hello there. It's got the greatest music for you here tonight. Hello, I'm Mike Allen. And when Mike decided to go over and do talk styly stuff and stop doing the playing records for a living, that kind of style of, so how are you tonight, my love? It was all kind of down there like this. It could be him reincarnated. Smike Allen. So listen, when we were talking last Wednesday, you were on the glide path to your plans for the end of the week. So what happened over the weekend? Did anything seismic happen?
Well, my football team won on Saturday.
Our Kidderminster Harriers, excellent.
No, Aston Villa.
The Villa. What's going with it? Well, that's good, isn't it? Is that a rarity, or do they win a lot these days?
Well, it's their first season back in the top flight, after spending 3 years in the Championship.
That's pretty good.
We beat Brighton 2-1. Should have been 3-1 if it weren't for VAR.
Are you an armchair fan, or do you go and see them yourself?
I've actually had a season ticket a couple of seasons ago, before they were relegated to the Championship.
Well, years ago, as you know, Alan, because we've discussed this before as well, I worked in Birmingham.
On
B&B. On B&B back in the day. Doesn't exist very sadly.
With free radio nowadays.
Something else these days. I think they've changed it.
Yeah, free
changed
radio.
Everything changes. But I remember, you know, going to the Villa ground, and it was a bit old-fashioned there. I guess they've poshed it up, though, now. Have they?
Yeah, because it's an old stadium now, since the mid-90s.
Okay.
After the Hillsborough disaster.
So it's all-seater now, is it?
Yeah.
Okay. And what else is going on with you?
Well, I'm currently waiting for some fish and chips.
What, again?
Hang on, is it being delivered to you?
Yes.
You had that last Wednesday.
Well, we got one of the neighbours who works at the chippy and brings us some fish and chips.
Well, that's handy. Do you get a good discount?
We charge.
Oh. Well, then that's good.
Do you get mushy peas with that?
Sometimes.
Love mushy peas. I don't. Down in London in the south, I don't think they do mushy peas like they do them in the Midlands and in the north of England. Frankly,
you know, in Scotland you can have a Bath and Mars bar.
I remember going when I lived in Cardiff for a while. They had a chippy there that was, well, it depends on where you live. Some places they call them chippers, and this would be interesting to throw this out to our listener. What do they call them where you live?
Chippies
in the north. North of Watford, it's a chippy. And down south, it can be a chipper.
Just,
you don't think so?
Oh, you've just thought of a topic for tonight. What do you call your chippy? 03444991000.
There you go. That's right.
You are a star. But in Cardiff, they used to do, you know, Scotch eggs with an egg in the middle, with a boiled egg in the middle. You
know,
buy these Scotch eggs, and, you know, they're quite, as my grandmother used to say, they're Moorish. They're very nice. But, you know, probably quite fattening. They would do them in batter in Cardiff. Back in the day.
Nice.
With a big bag of chips going with them. They were great then, you know, in Cardiff.
Well, my mum does bring Scotch eggs around Christmas because you can't beat homemade Scotch eggs.
Yeah, you can do them yourself. I've known people who do them yourself. You've got to, but the problem is, I've found, whenever I've known anybody doing them, that they if you don't do them right, if you don't get the mix right, they fall apart. Don't you find that? Story of my life,
My mum usually boils. My mum cooks the boiled eggs as normal. Then she boils the sausage meat already made up. She whacks the egg around that and covers it with the flour and the eggy mixture and the breadcrumbs. Then she cooks it in the oven to start, and then finishes it in the chipper.
And do they hold together? They stay together.
Yeah.
And they're
not nice golden brown.
And they're not so firm that you could use them as cricket balls, because they have to be exactly the right consistency.
I mean,
got you now, haven't I?
If they were like golden brown, they'd be prime minister.
Oh, golden brown texture, likes it. Yes. Hey, Alan, we'll talk again. Nice to hear from you, my friend.
Beat it to my head.
Take care.
Bye.
Now, having met you, because Amy here is doing the technical operation, is a whiz, I've only got to think a thing, and Amy will make it happen. So I talked about that guy in America who does what I think is the world's best Freddie Mercury impression. We've got him. Here he comes.
Doesn't really matter to me.
You say that now.
To me. Against his head, pulled my trigger, now he's dead. Mama, life had just begun, but now I've gone and thrown it all away.
He's got no guitar, by the way.
Mama, ooh, didn't mean to make you cry. If I'm not as if nothing really matters.
You've got to admit, he's good, isn't he?
You wouldn't think it wasn't Freddie, would
Sounds
you?
Sounds like him. He's got the little nuances. Wait for this bit. Have a listen.
Too late.
See?
My time is gone. Send shivers down my spine.
Ding-a-ling.
Body's aching all the time. Goodbye, everybody.
He's got no guitar.
Mama, ooh, I don't wanna die. I sometimes wish I'd never been born at all.
hear all of it now.
Why not?
Oh, no, he's still going to see the... Is he going to see the little silhouette of a man? Yes, he is.
Yes.
Scaramouche.
I see a little silhouette of a man. Scaramouche, Scaramouche, will you do the fandango? Thunderbolt and lightning, very, very frightening. Galileo, Galileo,
Galileo,
Galileo
Figaro,
Magnifico. I'm just a poor boy, nobody loves me. He's just a poor boy.
He's lost it slightly there.
Easy come, easy go. Will you let me go? Bismillah. No, we will not let you go. Let him go. Bismillah, we will not let you go. Let him go. Bismillah, we will not let you go. We'll not let you go. We'll not let you go. Let him be gone. No, 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 no. Oh, mamma mia, mamma mia, mamma mia, let me go. Beelzebub has a devil put aside for me.
Might as well let him get to the end. What do you say? You think so?
Yeah.
Oh.
So you think you could stop me and spit in my eye?
I never said that.
So you think you could love me and leave me to die?
That man's name is Mark Martel, and I think he's just brilliant. I think pretty much ever, what do you say, Hales? Pretty much all of that he got.
He's a brilliant find. Well done.
Got on the card, spot on. But just those little nuances of the voice that he gets. So check him out on YouTube. I don't know whether he's done any more Freddie Mercury songs, but he did that one pretty damn well. Our number here, 0344-499-1000. Let's be Avenue. We're Talk Radio.
Controversial conversation and outspoken opinions.
Outspoken
on Talk Radio.
I'll give you outspoken. 0344-499-1000. We were hearing Mark Martel. And I didn't realise, I found this guy, Mark Martel, who does this impression of Freddie Mercury online. And I just thought he was, you know, good amateur impersonator, but he's the guy, what, Ailey?
He's sang on the Bohemian Rhapsody film.
Okay, so
really
he's
good
the,
film as well.
So
fantastic.
He did the soundtrack
for
the...
So he's actually a professional.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we still very, let's not take away anything from him. Which led us to think this. If you've seen anybody who's really brilliant online, who does great impressions, or does terrible impressions, then, you know, they've got to be exactly like them. And they can include Elvis if you want to.
Oh, I love a bit of Elvis.
So give us a call and point us in the right direction and we'll make it all happen. 0344-499-1000. If you know somebody, found somebody, there's a guy in Chester who does impressions that are not quite, they're not exact impressions, but they're comedy style impressions. Like misheard song lyrics and stuff like that. I'm trying to remember his name. If you remember this guy's name, he's very well known, Liverpool, Chester. And I think he should be on the telly. He's not on the telly. And I'm trying to remember his name. It'll come to me. It's my age. You know, things just evade me from time to time. But he also does impressions of people like speaking. So one of his videos is Paul McCartney makes a cup of tea. It's great. It's, now, you would think that there's nothing funny about Paul McCartney making a cup of tea. So he goes into the kitchen and he's wearing the Paul McCartney Beatle white shirt and he's got the Beatle haircut and he says, hello, it's Paul McCartney. I'm going to make a, show you how to make a cup of tea. You've got to take the bag off there and then you shake it off like that and then you put it in. You've got to get the water at the right temperature. You put it in the cup. You stir it around like that. And then you put the milk with it. If you know who that person is, it's going to come to me before long. And he also does a great line in misheard song lyrics, in particular taking the you know what out of the Bee Gees. God rest their vocal cords, I would say. So 0344-499-1000. It's just a thought, really, tonight. Steve, we were talking about Scotch eggs, and Steve says, vindicating me, we call them chippies where he is.
Yeah, chip shop.
Okay, all right. CJ, nice to know that you're there. Should we get Susan on in the southwest then? Susan, how are you?
Good evening, my lovely. Good evening, Howard.
So sorry
good
for keeping
Haley.
You waiting, Susan. I'm sorry.
Hi, Susan.
It's just me talking.
I think you're all lovely, and a special good evening to Amy. She's running around in the background, and she's absolutely a sweetheart, isn't she?
Amy's fantastic. You know, I've only got to think a thing, and Amy's done it.
I know. She's a dear. I just wanted to talk to you about something, if I could.
Yeah, okay. Can I
hope you enjoy your fish and chips.
Well, chance would be a fine thing. We have to sit here with only the company coffee for company.
Oh, but you can
I can
make
dream,
up.
Though. I can dream.
I know. And you can make up for it tomorrow. What I wanted to say was, I love your show, by the way, the unknown, you know, because I've been fascinated by things we can't. There are so many things we can't explain in life, and they're so fascinating, you know. And, like, for instance, you think about, just sort of breaking things down, you can think about somebody who you haven't seen for 10 years, and the next week you get a letter through the post box. Do you know what I mean? Or you get a phone call, or you dream about something. About a family member dying, and it happened.
Oh, do you know the other one that I think happens a lot? It's
what?
Where you think about, and you know, let's not name a name here because we're going to put the kibosh on anybody, but you think about a celebrity, and then you think, I wonder what happened to so and so, and then the next thing you turn on the TV, and the next day, they've departed, they've gone.
I know. This is the thing. The unknown is so fascinating because you can't explain these things.
Exactly. That's why I do that show. How do you think I've been doing that for 15 years now?
I know, darling. And you're absolutely fantastic with it. But, no, I don't want any brownie points. I just... The trouble is you're a bit late and I can't... I wanted to listen to you past midnight the other night, but it's too late. We need to put you on earlier.
Well, I'm not sure if we can... I mean, we've had debates about that here, too. And people say that it probably only works late at night. And I personally, I mean, you know, for my own domestic harmony, 3 o'clock in the afternoon would be very nice. But I don't think they're going to do that anytime soon.
Well, anyway, so we'll have to sort that out. I'll have to write to the producers because sometimes you're dropping off. You had an important issue coming after midnight, and I was dropping off. I couldn't hang on anymore. But anyway, that's my problem, not yours.
Well, sure, I mean, but don't do it right now. But it's all on Listen Again, though. You can go to the website, and
I don't do computers, darling, but I'm going to have to, aren't I? Because I'm missing out. But the thing I'd like to talk to you about tonight, I don't know if you've ever sort of thought about this or heard other people talk about it, but when you sometimes, for instance, I've told Ian this, that I met a gentleman in Tesco Express, and he doesn't believe me.
What, that you met a gentleman in Tesco Express? Well, Tesco Express is full of gentlemen. Sometimes I'm there and I'm a gentleman.
No, you see, this is
slightly...
That's been very kind.
This is slightly different, Howard. I was going about my business and doing some shopping, and then I was going to head up to the bus stop, which I always do on Sunday, to get my cleaning jobs done. Okay, first, number one cleaning job, and then the other. Okay, so then I'm at the self-service checkout with a bit of food, bits and pieces, and I look over at the, you know, the regular tills. You've got the regular tills in the self-service, haven't you?
Yeah, in all of them, and more and more of the self-service ones. Yeah, sorry, you were saying.
Exactly. So I'm stood at the self-service to do my transaction, and I just look up and I see this man standing at one of the regular tills. I just see his profile side on. And there's just something about him. I just thought, oh.
You liked him.
I liked him. Mm-hmm. And there was there was something about him, the way he stood, his posture. There was just something about him I couldn't explain. And I saw his profile and I thought, he looks nice. Now, trust me, Howard, I don't accost men, I promise you. I promise you faithfully. I don't just go up to men and say hello, I promise you. I swear to you, hand on heart.
But is that what you did?
I tell you what happened. I stared at him, and for some reason he turned his head and he looked at me. And I didn't smile, I was just staring at him intently. And I had finished my transaction and I was walking out of the store. And I just thought, oh, God, I want him to talk to me. I want to talk to this man, and it was absolutely ridiculous because I'd never seen him before. It was just this powerful draw.
So did you have the feeling, as sometimes we get, that you'd met him or known him before? Or did you just think, oh, I like him?
No, I didn't think I knew him before, but I wanted...
You wanted to know him, though, didn't you?
I wanted to know him, and I wanted to talk to him, and I wanted him to talk to me. It was really powerful.
So you stood there and you gave him that look?
No, I gave him that look. I gave him a very intent look, and he looked at me. I was walking out of Tesco. It was a sunny day in the end of August, towards the end of August, and I walked out of Tesco, and I thought, God, what am I going to do? I want him to talk to me. And I just turned around briefly, and he was coming up behind me because he actually was going in my direction because that's where he lives. Right? Okay. So then I'm aiming my way up to the bus stop and I turn around to face the bus, the direction of the bus, and he's coming up behind me and I think, I'm not going to let you go.
Oh,
I'm not going to let you go.
That kind of suggests that he might have noticed you.
No, don't get scared. Mm. Don't get scared. Because what happened was, he had shopping as well, obviously. Mm. And I thought, I just can't let you go past. And I said, hello. And he said, hello. And I said, and I honestly, I don't normally chat men up like this, Howard. Honestly, I'm not a scarlet lady, I promise you. But I said, I haven't seen you around here before. I haven't seen you in Tesco Express before. Where are you from? And he said, Barbados. And I said, but you live here? He said, yes. And then he put his bags down to talk to me. Mm. And I saw this wedding ring on his hand.
Oh, what a disappointment.
No, hang on. No, because it's not that bad.
Oh, he said the wife's in Barbados. No, sorry.
No. I said, oh, are you married? Are you married? He said, I was, not anymore.
Oh.
He said, we're not together. I said, but I see a wedding ring on your hand. Mm. He said, oh, he said, I just wear it, that's all. We were together for 30 years, it's a long time. You know, Howard, if you know how important a wedding ring is to you, don't you? Because you have a wedding ring, don't you, I think, yes?
Not at this point in time, no.
No, okay. Well, Amy, Hayley, you know...
Hayley's got one, haven't you?
Yes.
Yes. And Hayley, you know how important that ring is to you, don't you? It's part of your life, isn't it, on your finger?
Yeah, but I kind of think if I wasn't married anymore, I don't know if I'd be wearing it.
Well, it depends on the story, because you haven't told me this guy's backstory. I mean, was there a terrible tragedy, or was she somehow taken away from him, or...
The story is, they just drifted apart, like many, not all marriages, but some relationships. It's happened to my sister and friends. You just simply drift apart, and there's nothing awful. It's nobody's fault. You just drift with the passage of time. You know, that's all it is, okay? It's a drifting of each other with the passage of time.
Oh, I've got you. Did he tell you any of that, though? Did he say, we drifted apart with the passage of time?
Oh, yes, he told me. And he told me something else, which I'd rather not disclose because I want to protect his privacy, you know, because we're on air. But he said, no, it's fine. It's nothing awful. I wouldn't have anything to do with it if it was awful. So, then Barbados, I said, if I bought a plot, I'm still waiting for the bus, remember? I said, if I bought a plot of land, how much would it be? Just to build a house. He said, about 30,000. Oh. I said, So I said, and how much would it cost if I built a small house had a small house built on that land just for me? Just for my, another 30,000. I said, okay, 60,000. So I said, what's the cost of living like? What's the council tax like? He said, you don't have a council tax in Barbados. I said, really? He said, no. I said, what's the cost of living like with food? What's the price of food? He said, well, it's quite expensive now. It used to be good because they used to grow a lot of their own produce, but they import a lot. Now it's gone up. So I said,
You got his entire life story here. I mean, what happened, though? I mean, did you get together?
I must cut to the chase because you know I tend to go on and on a bit. It gets boring. I'm sorry. So we're chatting away, and then I'm thinking, oh, I really like this man, you know, and he's got this. There's just something about him, you know, and his mouth. He's got this really beautiful shaped mouth, and he was sort of picking it up at the corner, and he said, "Can I look you up? Can I look you up sometime?"
Hey, now there's a line.
Isn't it? it.
Hey, I mean, was his voice kind of, hey, can I look you up sometime?
No, it was perfectly natural. Mm-hmm. And I thought, what a lovely thing to say.
Oh, but did he? I mean, come on, don't leave me hanging.
Yes, yes. I told Ian all this. He said he thinks it's a story. He doesn't believe it. So
I have to say, Ian's not alone with her. We've got a couple of tweeters who are a little sceptical about this. But look, I'm taking you on face value, Susan, because I've known you for years.
Let me just tell you something. We did get together. Uh-huh. And honestly, I swear, it's not physically yet because we've only met since the end of August and it's too soon. Not wanting to be, not to bore you with my intimate details.
No, but no.
We've been out for a drink, we've been out for coffee.
Very interesting.
And he's very lovely. He's extremely mannerful. He opens doors for me. He's very mannerful. He doesn't swear. Sometimes when I get heated about things, I can drop a swear word out, and I have to be careful because he doesn't swear. He's a very, very well-mannered gentleman, you know. And
one of our listeners thinks he's not real, Susan.
No, I swear to you, he's
real. How could
he
think that?
Has that gentleman just said he doesn't think he's real?
Mm.
No, he is real.
Okay. When are you seeing him next, then?
We speak every night. We've spoken tonight. Well, after I spoke in James Wells' show. And he's lovely. And we share. But the funny thing is, Howard, I would love other people, other callers and listeners, to call in and say if they felt an attraction for somebody and they couldn't explain it, but it was such a strong pull.
I've got a feeling, though, Susan, that's what happens between men and women, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's you may find this hard to believe.
Yeah.
But it's actually happened to me on occasions.
Really?
Not that
really?
Often. Not nearly often
not
enough.
Not often enough.
You, Howard, you actually saw a lady somewhere and thought, I don't know who she is, but she's lovely. There's something about her.
Well,
I
was telling James Whale just before we came on about the day that I met Kylie Minogue. I can't say I didn't have that feeling that day. Susan, we've got to leave you and love you. But I'm glad that everything's going well.
Okay, it's lovely to talk to you.
And you too, please take care.
You too.
And did we get the name of this guy, by the way?
Well, you see, they don't believe... I told...
He's a man who dare not speak his name.
I did tell a little lie there because I lied about his name to protect his confidentiality, but I told Ian that his name is Leroy, but it's not.
Okay.
And it's
all right. It's a detail. We don't have to probe.
It's only to protect his confidentiality.
No, I understand that. We're going to protect yours now, Susan. So have a good night, and I hope it all goes well with Leroy or whatever his name is. I think we've got minutes before we take some advertisements. We asked and we made an appeal here for anybody who's found a really good impersonator. Somebody who's like got on the card, spot on, or is really good for other reasons. And we've got one here from Brumaine, on the Twitter, who sent us a link to Elvis, the King of West Brom. Have we got that? No, we haven't got it. More Amy. There she is.
He was ruined, what a beautiful ride. I give my money all creek in Texas, any old time. I got those up, 2, 3, 4 occupation GI blue. How much I have till the end of my dear shoes. And if we don't go space, I soon am gonna pull up through. House of feather, the black punk and nickel child. Gail House of feather, and black punk and nickel.
What's he singing?
GI Blues. That's what he's singing.
I can't make those words out.
Black superheroes, for all that to do with.
Well, I like that. I won't say it's actually... You wouldn't say he's a doppelganger for Elvis,
would
you?
He didn't beat Freddie, did he?
He wasn't quite where Mark Martel is, but very good. And, Brumaine, thank you for that. Let's get Chris on, who's in West Wales. Well, kind of South Wales, verging on the West Wales. How are you, Chris?
I'm okay, thank you.
What's going on with you?
I've never spoken to you before.
Well, there's always a first time. Is it? How's it going so far?
I do listen to your show sometimes on a Sunday evening. Yeah, mind you, that chap, that American chap you was speaking to last night, he did give me the bit of the heebie-jeebies.
Really? I mean, this was a guy whose name, Dale. Dale was his name. Yes. Who was a ghost hunter in Chicago, and he'd found...
I started back in, God knows...
75.
Talking about...
44 years ago.
Polaroid cameras and...
Are you telling me you didn't believe any of this?
Well, I'm
it's
a
all right, you can
a,
tell me. I can take it. I've heard it before.
I'm a bit of a... What's the word I'm looking for?
Skeptic.
Yes, thank you.
It's all right.
Skeptic.
A non-believer.
You don't have to... I mean, one of the reasons I do that show is not because... I mean, people often... Yet sometimes... I'm glad you came on. Because sometimes when I do that show, people say, how do you have all those people on? You must believe all that stuff. How can you believe all that stuff? And like, the point of the show is that we put them on there and we, you know, we put them under the harsh searchlight of scrutiny. And our listener decides whether what they're saying is worth hearing. You weren't impressed though, were you, Chris?
Well, I didn't know it was Rennie... So many sort of ghosts and ghouls around Chicago.
Okay. So what's going on with you tonight anyway? Because you rang and we've never spoken before. So what's going on in... I see that you're in Neath near Port Talbot. And you don't say Port Talbot as people down here say. It's one word, isn't it? It's Port Talbot.
It all depends how you want to say it. It is many ways I've caused an argument before. With my ex-in-laws.
How did you
pronounce certain, you know, town names?
Oh, okay. And how do you, I mean, I've always said, because I was at uni down there years ago. I've always said Port Talbot. I was in Cardiff.
Right.
Now, where you are, Chris... And I was telling the story about the battered Scotch eggs. Do they, in your chip shops there, do they do Scotch eggs in batter? Because I think that's a South Wales thing. You're going to have to think about that.
I can't say I've ever had one, actually.
Have a think, and we'll talk again about the Scotch eggs. And maybe we'll do a bit of Elvis singing. Who knows? It's all there. There's a cornucopia of stuff to do. 0344-499-1000 is our number. It's Howard Hughes and Hayley Hayes. If you want to tweet us on the Twitter, it's at Talk Radio. Be nice to hear from you. Jamie, stand by. We're going to get to you next here on Talk Radio, the mighty blowtorch.
No nonsense, no prisoners, no substitutes.
Howard Hughes on Talk Radio.
Paula in Blackpool, Gary, nice to hear from you. And Darren tells me, he's not the only one who tells me, that the guy who does those impressions of people like Paul McCartney making a cup of tea is called Stevie Ricks. He's really funny, and I think that man should be a huge star. He definitely is on the internet, but he hasn't been on the telly yet. I don't think he should be. We'll try and find a bit of him in a bit. After we got to Jamie, who was in Mobile, Alabama. How are you, Jamie? Oh, he's on a mobile. What's going on, Jamie?
Hello. Hey, Dean, that's Susan. I called you.
Yes.
Is she so lonely?
Not anymore, I don't think.
Oh, right. She sounds so lonely, man. She's not ringing up Talk Radio, the stalking radio, or whatever you want to call it.
I don't think she's stalking me. I think we can probably point them in, you know, her in their direction. How about that?
Well, I don't, you know, direction. Let me know. I don't know what direction her mind's going in, mate.
What about you?
Well, I'm so lonely tonight, you know. I went to Bluewater tonight and enjoyed me evening. That's it, you know.
Did you buy anything?
I had a nice night. I bought a couple of things, basically. I'm having a nice night, yeah. How about you?
Well, I'm having a nice night, Jamie. You've been to Bluewater, okay. You turned on the radio. You called us.
Yeah, and, you know... Just looked at a swan, and that's about it.
Hang on, where's
a couple of ducks and stuff.
Where's swans and ducks around Bluewater? Of course they have, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Other than that, I mean, I've had a nice night. I just want to know one thing. Do you know Scotch eggs? Do they actually come from Scotland?
I think they probably started out there, but I think they do them everywhere. Do you like Scotch eggs?
I'm thinking Scottish eggs.
Do you like Scotch eggs?
Yeah, nice, spurry things. little bit of a joke there, sorry.
It's all right, Jamie.
Well, I'm glad you like them anyway.
I'm glad you had a nice evening.
All right, no problem. Have a nice night.
Take care. Have a nice night. Jamie, who's been to Blue Water, he's bought a couple of things, and he's looked at the ducks. I'm glad we got that clear. Hayley, I'd have worried all night.
Fascinating.
Well, I'm amazed. 0344-499-1000 is our number. If you have come across on YouTube or some other internet portal, somebody who does the greatest impression in the world ever of some famous singer, maybe does a great Barbara Streisand or something like that, we'd like to hear from you. And we found from Chester on the Liverpool fringes, Stevie Ricks. And I mentioned that he did this great video of Stevie Ricks being Paul McCartney making a cup of tea. I think this, Amy, we've got it, haven't we, is a little work of art. Check this.
Ooh, hi, my name's Paul McCartney, and welcome to Paul McCartney Makes a Cup of Tea, right? Okay, so the kettle's boiled, right? There's a little dog, you see that? Ooh. Okay, the kettle's boiled, so what we do is, first of all, we have a tea bag, right? Because I like tea bags as opposed to loose tea, right? So, okay, so we just put that in there. And we add a bit of water, right? So it's going to be boiling, right? So, bit of water in there like that. Stir it around, because you've got to get that tea nice and strong. You know, so just stir it around if you can. So it's nice and strong, and then take it out. Just give it a squeeze. You know, a bit of a squeeze. Take it out, and then some sugar, right? Because I've got a bit of a sweet tooth, so we get some sugar. So it's two sugars, right? That's one for me and one for me worms, right? Okay, so then you get a bit of milk. Because some people like it, you know, just black. But I like it with a bit of milk, you know? So just a little tiny bit of milk in there, you know? Stir it round. And just try it, you know, because it's a cup of tea, it's in a Beatles mug, and just see what it's like.
And that's Stevie Ricks in Chester. He makes all of these videos. He's done two versions of that. The first one is maybe not quite as good as the second one, but they're both really good. And it's Paul McCartney in all the gear with the complete Beatle dark haired mop top wig, going into the kitchen, getting a tea bag out and making a cup of tea, boiling up the water and doing and just putting it in there. Cause you know, sometimes you talk to Paul McCartney and it's all, I mean, you know, I did do that once, but you know, he's a bit kind of, well, you know, it's all great in Liverpool. It's fantastic. You know, so it's all the same kind of thing. Stevie Ricks is a guy who does some of the greatest impressions of the Bee Gees I've ever heard. Bee Gees misheard song lyrics. Check that out on YouTube. Oh. Some of them are a tad rude for us, but, well, maybe not, actually.
Probably not.
Who knows? So if you know of somebody who's better or as good as Stevie Ricks, 0344-499-1000, want to talk about anything tonight at all, we'd like to hear from you. One of the things I thought, I was thinking about on the way here, I was watching this thing because I couldn't sleep last night.
Because you had too much coffee.
Too much coffee last night when I was doing The Unexplained, yes, to give myself a bit of a boost, which I've got to try and stop.
Maybe try decaf.
Well, I have tried decaf, but that's like coffee for wimps, isn't it? Don't you think?
Well, yeah, but if it helps you sleep.
Oh, yes, no, you're right. I'm going to be on the decaf tonight.
Right.
But my head was going everywhere. So I turned on the telly and there was this documentary about seconds from disaster. People who've been in situations where they'd nearly croaked it, nearly died.
Right.
And it was fascinating. There was one terrible air crash. It was in San Francisco.
Gosh.
And the plane landed short of the runway. And the back end of the plane, the fin bit, you know, the tail bit, snapped off. It was absolutely terrible because they had the video of it and stuff. But most of the people on that plane got out unscathed. So my question for you is, and I think, you know, a lot of us have been through these things. Maybe it's something that's happened on the road or somewhere else. Have you ever come within an inch of your life? Have you been in a situation where you've kind of, had you slipped that way, you'd have been in front of the bus? Or have you gone that way, you'd have been all right, which you were, because you'd be able to call and tell me about it. Or something, you know, like that. Were you ever on a plane that was hit by real severe turbulence and you thought it was going to come down, something like that?
But we want a happy ending, though,
right? We want a happy ending, of course, yeah. You know, I came out of it.
Not that kind of happy
and
ending.
And it changed, if it was The Unexplained, to be coming on here and saying it totally changed my life. It was only a thought. death cheating stories, 0344 499 1000. And I've been meaning to say also to Colin in Dorset, if you are listening tonight, thank you very much for the goat man story. You don't know anything about the goat man, do you?
No, is he half man, half goat?
Well,
has he got two legs and two, I don't know.
Well, you know me, I've got a story for every occasion. And when I was about 11 or 12, my grandmother took me to the fair in Southport, which she used to do quite often. And this is what, you know, people in Liverpool used to do. They get the train up to Southport, and then you'd have the long walk from the train station.
It's a really long walk, isn't it?
Have you ever been there?
Yes, I have a few times.
Massively long walk. But, you know, it's what do they call it up north? It's bracing. It's bracing by the sea there. You go down to the fair, you have your day at the fair, walk back. So we're walking back. It's a sunny day. It's about August or so. And my grandmother says to me, remember, I'm 11 or 12. She says, don't look.
Right.
Now, when you say to a child, especially me when I was like 11 or 12, don't look, what do?
Oh, you look.
So I looked, and there was a guy in a trench coat next to me, and he had the feet and the legs of a cloven-hoofed animal. Right?
Oh.
That's why my grandmother said, don't look. And then I looked up,
blimey,
which I shouldn't have done, because his head was like something like a goat. I
can only,
and I just told that story thinking, well, it's just something that I experienced, and I was a kid, I might have got it wrong, and I was told not to look. And then I started getting all these emails from people, including somebody in South Africa, who'd had exactly the same experience, had seen a man who looked like a goat. So if you've seen anything like that, if there is such a thing as the goat man, and you've encountered it, or indeed if you've encountered a big cat, which is more likely these days, panther sightings everywhere.
Gosh. Well,
Sunday nights, we're talking about them all the time. 0344-499-1000. It's our number here at Talk Radio. It's only a thought, hey. Looking at me as much as to say, where's he going with this?
I'm intrigued by this goat man. I want to meet him.
Well, you know,
I wonder what he talks like.
Well, I wonder if he goes to Tesco's, the Express there.
Yeah, you do wonder.
He might have a certain
like
something about him. You know, Leroy the goat man. Could be him.
There I don't know. A goat wouldn't be called Leroy, would it? What would a goat be called? It wouldn't be called Leroy.
Gary?
No.
Oh.
Something more like Butch, I think.
Something Butch.
Gordon. Gordon the goat.
Gordon. No,
that
God, that's
like
Gordon,
Gordon
the gopher.
Yeah.
You're no use.
I know.
Garrison. What's? Garrison the goat.
Oh, that's, yes.
Garrison the goat. Like, you know, Garrison. Very famous. Well,
cool.
Somebody. American.
Oh, right, yeah. Well, he is now.
Well, he's Garrison the goat until he's something else anyway. But if you look into this, and I do, of course, as you know, for Sunday
nights,
you will see that there are countless stories like that, knocking around the world of people who've witnessed such things.
Well, it's like mermaids. They're real, aren't they?
Well, again, if you look at videos that go round and appear on my Facebook from time to time, you would say they were.
Oh, I think they are.
You say, have you special knowledge of these things,
I've never
ADAs?
Seen one, but I would like, I think it's the more the thought that I'd like to think they're real. Because it's that sort of thing, isn't it? That you kind of think, oh, I'd be gutted if they weren't real.
So, a mix of a woman at the top half.
Yeah.
And the bottom half like a dolphin.
Thin. Yeah, yeah.
You think such things might exist?
Yeah, why not?
How do they breathe then? And don't say, like that.
Well, just because they don't have legs doesn't mean they can't breathe. You don't breathe through your legs, do you? They have a top half. They've got lungs.
Mm-hmm.
Why would they not be able to breathe?
You don't breathe through your legs. I nearly said something very rude.
Are you trying to be logical?
I know people who talk through their... know a few of them. No, it's just that I think there are strange and semi-mythical creatures all around us. And sometimes we don't see them. And sometimes we do what my grandmother said and we don't look.
Well, they probably look at us and think we're weird and extraordinary, right?
Not in my case, they don't.
Well, I think if a mermaid walked past now, they think that we were weird.
Down the corridor here.
Why not?
Going to get a cup of coffee. Can I have a cup of mermaid blend? James, nice to hear from you. As James says, nice to have you on during the week. Are you the Howard Hughes who used to be on County Sound Radio in Guildford? Don't get me started, James.
When was that? Was that like 30 years ago?
It was 3 decades ago when I was just starting my career. But back in those days, if you wanted to get into all of this business, then you would have to travel. You'd have to go everywhere. So in the early days, I was working in Brighton at the beginning because I thought it would be cool to live by the sea. So I did a year there, doing things like what was the name of that carnival? They made me go and cover a carnival one day, and it was Fairwater, just along from, on the way to Eastbourne, halfway between Brighton and Eastbourne, sort of retirement community, and they had a carnival there, and I had to go and say, are you enjoying yourself today? How was the egg and spoon race? Oh, so you do your stuff there. I did a year there, and then worked in Worcester, where they taught me how to shear a sheep. Have you ever sheared a sheep?
No, I'd love to, though. It looks very therapeutic.
If you're hearing this now and you live in, like, Gloucestershire, Herefordshire, Worcestershire, any of the counties where they have such things, you know that it's a real art form. If you have ever got to shear a sheep, what you got to remember is that they're pretty docile. If you get them kind of back to your front like that, and then you put their legs over your arms like that, and then you get the clippers, and you go like that, very gently. Most farmers won't let you do this, so I was allowed to try it. Scared the proverbial out of me, though.
Oh, I'd like to have a go. It looks really therapeutic, if you get it right.
They have a thing that if you work on the radio there, they make you go to a thing called the Three County Show, which is like Herefordshire, Gloucestershire, Worcestershire. And it's the biggest thing. It's on every single year. And there are all sorts of things that you can do there. They have all sorts of stalls showing you food. And also all the farmers go there because the tractor makers display their latest tractors. But also they put on displays of things like shearing a sheep. So, you know, I'm just a kid. I bounce up to one of these guys and say, how do you do that? And he says, do you want to have a go? I probably wouldn't be allowed today. You know, they probably say, no, you're not allowed to do that. The sheep might get harmed or you could slip with the clippers, which thankfully I didn't. Lots of people breathing a sigh of relief tonight about that. But no, you have to do that. You have to hold it like that. And you find that if it's been writhing around before you get hold of it, once you get hold of it, as long as you do it with a firm and confident grip, it's like many things in life, it's aware of what you're doing, and then we'll let you do the shearing. And you'd be amazed at how that wool, much of which is filthy and covered in poo, comes off. You see, you hearing this, you are hearing things you just never guessed you would hear from me. You
know? Carly's being smart on Twitter. He says, how would a mermaid walk down the corridor, Hayley? They must get used to it, right? They must have a way of getting from A to B.
He's got a point. She probably flopped down the corridor.
Exactly. They still have a way of transporting themselves from A to B.
If we had a seal in here, then the seal would go, and then just flop down the corridor.
Exactly. I'm trying to have a serious conversation here, Carl. Thank you very much.
Carl, I'm on your side here. I don't think there's a problem with any of that at all. But, you know, you've got to be able to expand your horizons and think about things. You consider things that you may think are ridiculous because they just might happen one of these days. A mermaid might walk down the corridor here. I'm looking out the window now. Is that a flying pig? Oh, my God. Yes, it is. Sorry. If you're wondering what this is, it's Howard Hughes and Hayley Hayes on Talk Radio. In this week, you can call us on 0344-499-1000. You can tweet us on the Twitter at Talk Radio. If you've got a weird story to tell, of the kind of thing, you know, when I do that Sunday show, because we're rolling through it and talking to people at a fair old lick we are, I don't often get the chance to talk to people who call up. So, you know, now could be your chance to do that. It's only a thought. You don't have to, but it would be nice if you would consider doing that, if you've had that experience, if you've cheated death. I don't think we're going to have time for it this side of the news, but I can tell you when I cheated death, if you want to. My experience of climbing an industrial chimney when I was, again, younger and less stupid than I am now. And I'm fairly stupid now. I used to have this idea that I want to get noticed. God knows why. I want to get noticed. I'm always thinking about things. I want to get noticed. If you're starting in radio, you want people to notice you. It just goes with the territory. I wouldn't bother now. But back then, it seemed like a good idea. So I came up with this great scheme when I was working in Nottingham. Because I was running out of things to cover. So I said to the boss, will you let me go with a steeplejack and climb an industrial chimney? Because I've seen that they're doing one up down the town near the Raleigh Bike Factory in Nottingham. If you live near there, you'll know what I'm talking about. And the boss said, okay. But we haven't got time to tell you what transpired, but I can tell you the hair-raising story of what I had to do when I climbed an industrial chimney and bit off substantially more than I could chew. We'll tell you that after the news. Only here with Howard and Hayley on Talk Radio. Stay with us.
No nonsense, no prisoners, no substitutes.
Howard Hughes on Talk Radio.
Hit me with your rhythm stick. Hit me, hit me. Je t'adore, ich liebe dich.
Hit me, hit me, hit me. Hit me with your rhythm stick. Hit me slowly, hit me quick. Hit me, hit me, hit me.
There was a comedian years ago who did a version called Hit Me With Your Shovel, Mick. Hit me slowly, hit me quick. I love that. I've got it. In the days when they used to do 12-inch singles, I've got the 12-inch single of that. I used to make that as 12-inch.
It might be worth something.
It's probably, it's an extended version, and it's probably worth something. Have you got 12-inch singles in your collection? Do you play those?
I think my mum does, actually. She's got a cupboard in her bedroom with lots of them.
Probably there are going to be...
What was before 12-inches? She's got actually some of those as well that I think are definitely worth some money.
Oh, if you're talking years ago, then yeah, there were some singles that they made as 10-inch singles.
Probably, yeah, because they're from her mum and dad. So
they're
like...
very, very, very rare.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's a cupboard in her bedroom that she's told me that.
And sometimes I think they'd include like four tracks, two on each side. Oh. Talking about records here, it's a long time. I know it's a long time ago, but in the day, 1970s, I think it's probably the era into the 80s. Sometimes if there was a successful pop song, Thompson Twins, got them, Ian Dury that you just heard, loads of artists, they release like an extended mix, Swing Out Sister, got few of those, and they put them on a 12-inch single. And because they revolved at 45 RPM, the quality, the sound quality of them was much better. And you get an extended mix. If you've ever heard Grace Jones' Slave to the Rhythm.
Oh, yeah.
The 12-inch is to die for. And there's an introduction, a guy stands, it's as if he's standing on stage and he says, born in America, came from Jamaica, ladies and gentlemen, Miss Grace Jones, Slave to the Rhythm. And then it goes, Amy, I think we've got that. It'd be nice to hear that at some point. Michael in Tottenham, North London, nice to hear from you. We're talking about people who do impressions that are really good and some that are maybe not as good, but some that are very good. Michael says there was a man from Northern Ireland called James Brown, not the James Brown, I'm a soul man, who sang in the style of Elvis. He got two albums out, Gravelands and Return to Splendor, in which he did covers of songs by the Sex Pistols, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Louis Armstrong, The Doors, and others in the style of Elvis. Him we've got to hear. I know we're making Amy work tonight. Amy, James Brown, not the soul singer, the impersonator of Elvis. Got to hear a bit of that. Don't you think so?
Yes.
I'd like to hear a bit of Red Hot Chili Peppers done as Elvis. I suppose you could do that, couldn't you? If you were doing like Grace Jones' Slave to the Rhythm, how would it be? It'd be, slave to the rhythm, ha ha. Or not, as the case may be. There are places I remember. That's David Bowie, isn't it?
Chimneys.
David Bowie.
Chimneys.
What about chimneys?
You were talking about chimneys. I was talking about the news.
All right, then. You don't want to talk to Becky? Talk to Becky?
Oh, it's Becky there?
Yeah, Becky's
here. We're gone then.
Becky!
Hi.
Hello, Becky. How are you?
I'm fine. Hayley asked me to call in, so I did.
Well, no, I'm very pleased that you did. And we were asking and talking about instances where you might have cheated death. I'm going to tell mine, but what's yours?
Well, I cheated death when I was three. I nearly drowned in a swimming pool.
Oh, God. Yeah. What, you slip off the edge?
No, I actually meant to go in purposely, but I didn't. Obviously, when you're that young, you don't judge depth of water, do you? So I just went in to get a rubber ring that I wanted to get hold of.
That's the thing, when you're a kid, you can only see the thing. Life. Yeah. God. Mm. So you couldn't swim, presumably, being three?
No.
So tell me that a big, burly lifeguard came to your aid.
No, it wasn't a lifeguard. It was actually some random, another swimmer, really, who just came by and picked me up, dragged me to the side, and my mum and dad were, well, they were beside themselves.
Well, they would be.
Yeah.
Did they know? I mean, were they aware of what had happened to you? Had they seen?
Well, my dad wasn't. My mum, she couldn't swim at the time. That what spurred her on to get herself and me swimming lessons, basically.
Well, I'm glad you... And are you a good swimmer now?
Yeah.
I'm
a cracking swimmer.
Are you?
I don't like to, you know, expose myself up a bit, but yes, I'm not. No, I'm not modest in the slightest.
You're all right, Chuck. You're all right. Did it make you afraid of water and swimming pools and things like that?
Yes.
Yeah, well, it does.
After that, yes, I was terrified.
You know, I had something very similar to you, but it wasn't in a swimming pool. And it's the same situation. When you're a kid, you're only aware of the thing that you're trying to get or the thing that you've lost. Now, with you, it was the rubber ring. And with me, it was a gingerbread man. My mum and dad took me to the botanical gardens in Southport where they've got like a pond. Okay, it's got mud and leaves and gunk all around the edges. And the water is a bit on the brown side. But it's not meant for swimming in. Until the day that I arrived there. So there I am clutching for dear, I mean, I'm only about four, clutching for dear life, a gingerbread man. And I love gingerbread men. And somehow I slipped slightly and the gingerbread man went into the water. Now, when you're four, you don't think, well, I'll have to let that go. Maybe one day I'll get another gingerbread man. Daddy will buy me one. You think, gotta get the gingerbread man back.
That gingerbread man now.
So,
yeah.
You know, here I am to tell the tale. I went slipping into the water to get the gingerbread man back, but unfortunately went head first, and I was in the process of what we call drowning, and my father, thank God for him, who was, you know, pretty, my father was handy, you know, he was a guy who could handle himself, you know, and he was very strong. So my father doesn't even think, and he leaps into the water, and first of all he wades in, and then he sort of leaps, he kind of launches himself forward and grabs me rugby tackle style, gets me out of the water. And the next thing, we forget the gingerbread man. They put me in a blanket in the car, in the days when people had blankets in the car, and they took me home. And I'll never forget the hot bath that I had after that, because they were washing newts and mud and filth and poo off me. And I was scared of, I think I still am a bit, scared of ponds and lakes and stuff like that. Ever since that happened.
Yeah, I'm so fortunately that I've got a list of things that I'm fearful of, but fortunately, bodies of water is not something that I'm fearful of. I am terrified of the ocean, though.
Now, I wonder if some people say...
It's just pure depth of it. It's just like the vastness and how deep it can actually go. It's just it. Just thinking about it.
You know what that is? That's the imponderable. That's the thing that you don't quite understand. And because you don't understand it, you don't know how deep it goes. It holds a fear for you. My one was ships. You know, being from Liverpool, you go along the dock road and the ships would come in. You know, back in the day when they were bringing goods from all over the world, they'd come from Africa and Canada and all over the shop. The ships would come right up to the dock road, and literally you could be driving, or my dad would be driving me along the dock road, and you'd look to one side, and you'd look up, and you would see this enormous great prow of a ship there being unloaded, and it'd be a big black mass of metal there, poking over the dock gate wall. And as a little kid, I was terrified, and I'm still scared of big ships. If I stand near a big ship...
I love that. I'm fascinated by ships.
Well, I'm still scared by them.
Right,
and I think it was just because I didn't understand the sheer scale of something that big. I think that's what that was all about. Back in the day, Liverpool. Well, I'm glad you're here to tell the tale, Becky.
Yes.
Why do you call yourself on the Twitter, Becky the Witch?
Becky the Witch, yes. So I introduced myself to Ian Lee.
Mm-hmm. I mean, was that to catch his eye, or is that what you call yourself, sort of more generally?
He generally wanted a witch, which is what I am, to help cast a spell, which during that time, I believe it was round about April or something, to help cast in a spell to, I think it was like to... cast love and happiness to the listeners on the show, and it worked for him, and it worked to work for a few listeners as well, which was what I was chuffed about.
Isn't that mind over matter, though? I was always told, you're talking to the man who does the unexplained, so I should be more accepting of these things, but isn't it just that if you tell somebody that such and such a thing is going to happen, and that because I've done this thing for you, then you're going to meet a tall, dark stranger or a tall, blonde stranger, then you're looking out for that. You're expecting to see that.
Yes.
But you're telling me there's more to it than that, aren't you?
There is more to it than that. It's not just, oh, I'm casting the spell, and yes, I'm hoping that what I'm hoping for will instantly manifest itself. It doesn't work like that.
So are you what they call a white witch? You do good things?
No, I'm not a white witch. I'm not a black witch. I'm not any coloured witch.
You're just a witch?
I'm just a witch, okay. Yeah. I would say I lean more to the chaotic side of things.
Chaotic?
That's more, yeah, that's getting a bit deeper there. But in general, anything goes, the chaos theory and chaos magic.
Chaos magic? Mm. Do you know what? I've done loads of research on magic, and I've interviewed people like Marion Green, who's a very famous person who does this stuff. I think she's still around in London, but I remember interviewing her when I was just, you know, starting out in stuff. When I was like 22, I met Marion Green, and she gave me one of her books. I've never heard of chaos magic, though.
No, okay. It's not, it's more of an underground thing. It's not readily available in libraries, or you can grab a book on chaos magic. Magic CK at the end.
It's not dark and sinister like the Wicker Man, though, is it? You don't stand around there, you know, sort of burning people.
No.
Good.
Oh, gosh, no. And no, not evil.
So when you are you trying to make sense and order out of the chaos? Is that how that works?
Yeah, yeah. Use and draw sigils, random sigils and stuff.
Sigils.
What's a figle? Sigils,
yeah.
Enlighten me. What's a figle?
It's just a drawing, basically. Oh. It's like any symbol drawing that you can do over and over again becomes your, and you put your, put your effigy, your energy into that.
And is that drawing that comes to you, like, in your mind that you then draw, or is it a symbol or something, or?
Yeah, there's the former or the latter. Or anything, yeah. Oh. Anything goes.
And
the best way that I can describe chaos magic.
Are there limits on it?
Witchcraft is just anything goes.
But if you does like the cosmos, if you believe these things, the universe, does it put limits on the things that you can ask for? Like if I was to ask for something, I'd ask for £500,000 by a week next Tuesday, or preferably sooner. Would there be something, some kind of cosmic law that would say that's not good for him? We're not going to give him that.
I wouldn't say that's not good for him, he's not good for that. I would say the universe would be more, well, is that practical for you? You know, in your life circumstances right now, you know, say homeless man, for instance, who's got nothing to in his pocket. He wants to cast a spell to get £500,000. In his practical circumstances, would that really be realistic for him in his presence? Something would have to happen, like as a miracle, for him to get £500,000. And he's asking the universe.
So are you saying that you, by doing what you do, can't make a miracle happen?
No, can't make miracles happen. No, gosh, no.
So are you just sort of oiling the wheels?
But you can help to turn the cogs to make certain circumstances happen. You've got to put your energy into it, but then you've also got to, like, go into the real world and try and make that happen. You can't just do a spell and forget about it, 10 months' time or 10 weeks' time.
So, like anything, if you want anything to work in this world, you've got to work it.
You've got to work it, yeah.
Oh, okay.
And that's something that my mum and dad have always distilled into me.
Wow.
Got to work it to make it happen.
Hey, we'll talk about this again. And I've never heard of chaos magic. And thank you for telling me your stories, Becky.
I'll try and find some resources on, which I do have, but I'll try and find more resources on chaos magic when I next talk to you again.
Oh, please do. And we can do it on the Unexplained on Sundays.
Yeah, definitely.
Sometime soon. You're a big fan of Grace Jones' Slave to the Rhythm, aren't you?
Oh, yes. I love that
tune. The 12-inch version of this, which is never played on the radio these days, is absolutely to die for. So as we head towards advertisements, somebody told me off last week because I talk about commercials. He said, you're not in America. They're called advertisements. So as we head towards advertisements, check this.
This is what Edith Piaf used to say. Use your faults. Use your defects. then you're going to be a star.
Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Grace Jones. Jones, slave to the rhythm.
She's born in Jamaica, raised in America, you know, and she was really an American girl with Jamaican parents.
Nonsense discussion.
Howard Hughes on Talk Radio.
That's not often, Hales, that I sit here looking a fool, is it? We played the 12-inch version of Grace Jones, and because it's been so many years since I heard it, it's sitting in my garage right now, unplayed since about 1900. So that's why I didn't realise that she doesn't sing. She doesn't actually sing for 4 minutes. But when she does sing, my God, she's good. Have a listen to this. Just gives me. Do you ever, Hayley? Are there songs in your life that give you goosebumps?
Yes.
Up and down your arms? That does it for me every time. I just think Grace Jones, apart from the fact that if I ever met her, she'd probably slap me across the face.
She probably would as well.
Hey, listen to this, listen to the rhythm. I'll just hear the next bit. Because she goes, "You slave to the rhythm." Thank you. All right, I'm all right now. Our number here is 0344-499-1000. 0344, I nearly forgot the number myself. 0344-499-1000. If you were a 12-inch record collector, if you've got loads of 12-inch singles, you can talk to me about them if you like and steer me in the right direction. If you know a great impressionist who deserves to be heard, then we'd like to hear from you. Oh, by the way, Freddie. And Freddie's girlfriend in Manchester, thank you for what you said. Nice to know that you're there. 0344-499-1000 if you'd like to speak with us. We'd like to speak with you. This is a guy called James Brown, who we were told about earlier by Michael in Tottenham, North London. James Brown is nothing to do with the famous soul singer. He is an impersonator of Elvis, who does stuff like this.
Love me tender.
What?
Love me sweet. Never let me go.
Sounds like Aretha Franklin.
That's Gladys Knight and the Pips.
Oh, Gladys Knight, yeah.
Without the Pips.
You have made.
Are we sure this is the right James Brown?
My life
for
me. Says James Brown. No, there was a famous one, and this one is not so fair. I think this may be the other one. It's good, nevertheless. I think you'll find. Oh. Yeah, I thought that's where that was going. Oh, no, not sure what that proves, but. It was nice to have him there. That's all I can say. Now, I know that you've been hanging on my every word here and wanting to hear my story of climbing the chimney. Colin, are you all right hanging on for a minute or so? We've got Colin waiting. He's called 03444991000. Will I tell my story of going up the chimney? Hayley, my producer, am
yes,
I all right to do
go
that?
Go for it.
Well, we're talking about, and maybe you're just sort of coming back from a night out and you're just hearing me mention this now. But I thought it'd be interesting to talk about those occasions where either by accident, unwittingly, or maybe by something that you've done because of your youth, inexperience, or sheer whatever it might be, your sheer chutzpah, that you've done that's put you in at risk. But you've come out of it, the other end, maybe a better person. And the one that I always remember about myself is something they wouldn't even allow now, Hayley. You know, they wouldn't let you do this. No. But you know, if I went to my boss here, Denny, and I said, Denny, I'd like to climb up an industrial chimney, go 150 foot up in the air and do a recording there, they would probably say, health and safety, you're not going to do that. But this is a long time ago. So let's get ourselves into pole position here and dim the lights. So the year is 1980. The city is Nottingham in the East Midlands in the United Kingdom. The person, Howard Hughes, trainee broadcaster and silly fool. And I'm looking for something to give the stuff that I'm doing on the radio just a little bit of a boost. You know, just something to make people notice me. So in my foolishness and stupidity, I think, how am I going to get noticed? I know. If I climb an industrial chimney with that steeplejack I've seen working in Nottingham, I'm going to get my name in the papers. Not realizing, of course, I could have got my name in the papers for all the wrong reasons. So the boss says, this is the BBC we were talking about in those days. And he said, yes, you can do it. Because I think they probably wanted rid of me. You know, I was quite happy to go from there, to be perfectly frank with you. But he said, yes, you can do it, as long as you sign this form here. And he handed me this long form, and it was like a disclaimer on every page. And it basically said, if you die or you suffer torment or tempest to life or limb, the BBC is in no way responsible and is not liable to pay you any compensation or indeed your heirs and successors. So I thought, well, that's all right. I'm, you know, very young. Nothing bad's going to happen. I'll sign the paper and do it. So having signed the disclaimer that completely absolves the BBC from any responsibility for what I'm about to do, I then get in touch with the steeplejack. And I say, can I come down there and climb your chimney? He said, ah, right, we've had journalists here up here before that. Come down. I'll show you the ropes. Not realizing that's exactly what he was going to do. So I arrive there and I'm thinking, well, there's going to be protection. There's going to be health and safety. There'll be a safety net. If I slip and I fall, it'll be into the net. It won't be 150 feet smacking my head wide open to the ground. No, no, no. It'll all be sorted out. If there's a ladder, then there'll be a harness. It's fine. So I get a tape recorder, microphone, go to the place, and I think I'm going to interview a steeplejack at the top of a 150-foot tower chimney. Great stuff. So I arrive there, and I see there's the steeplejack. He looks like somebody who you might remember from the telly called Fred Dibner. He's wearing overalls, and he says, all right, lad, he's got a fag in his gob, you know, a cigarette in his mouth going. He's smoking like that. He says, he's become a Londoner now, hasn't he? He says, right there, lad. He says, you're going up there then? You haven't chickened out then? I said, no, no, it's fine. He said, well, have a look. This is where you're going. There's a ladder up the side of the chimney. That's all there is. It's clipped or nailed or stapled to the side of the chimney. And he says, you're going up there, lad. I'll go first. You take that tape recorder on your shoulder. You come up after me. All right. I said, yeah, you know, and I'm looking for him to, you know, clip me into a safety harness or put me into a special costume. So, you know, I'm not going to have an accident. Not at all. And I'm wearing, I think in those days I used to wear something called kickers. Do you remember kickers? Kickers were leather shoes that all the kids wore back then. And I had them. I had a red pair and a blue pair. They were not made for climbing chimneys. Apart from that, I was fully equipped. I was wearing a pair of like chino-style trousers. I was wearing a V-neck pullover because all the BBC people wore stuff like that. Them bunch of prats we looked to. V-neck pullover and a shirt and a tie. And I'm going to climb 150 foot on a damp day in Nottingham up to the top of a chimney. So he says, right, right, I'm going up first. So he's going, and then I get, I'm thinking, well, this is not so bad. I'll do another run, go up one more, one more, one more, one more. Suddenly I'm about 40 foot off the ground. And that's where I make my fatal mistake. Well, it wasn't fatal, but it could have been. That's where I made my mistake. I looked down. The moment I looked down, my legs started shaking. He said, you're right there, lad. You're getting a bit slow. Shall I take that tape recorder off? It's a bit heavy, that, isn't it? I'll take it up there. Okay, then. So we carry on climbing. And I'm thinking, I'm going to look a total idiot if I can't finish this climb. So I do it. And by the time I get to the top, my legs are trembling, okay? And there's no harness, nothing to fall into, just a fall of 150 foot down the side of this chimney. That's all big red brick chimney, nothing else. So he says, right, lad, now this is the hard part. He says, right, this is the hard part. And he points to a thing called the buckboard. If you know anything about building, it's like the planks around the top of the chimney upon which you walk when you get there. In order to stand on the buckboard that goes all the way around the top of the chimney, it's almost like the lip of a cup, okay? You have to swing your legs out. Now, that is the riskiest thing of all, because one slip there and you're dead. So I do it. Then I get onto the top of this chimney and there's a bit of a breeze because it's high up. And he says, you're not standing up, lad. Are you all right? I said, no, it's all kneeling down. It's fine for me. Thank you very much. And he then says to me, bearing in mind, you then have to do it in reverse, which is just as scary as doing it when you're going up. And he says, now, I'll tell you what, lad, I'll take my hat off to you, he says, because some of these journalists, you know, they think they can do it. They think they're Billy, you know what, rollocks. He says, and they can't, they get halfway up and I have to take them rung by rung, clipping them. And then you have to, and then I have to spend half an hour getting them down again. He said, you got up to the top here. That was great. It was the single most terrifying thing that I've ever done. Because if you look down one side, it's a 150 foot drop. If you look down the other side, you go 150 foot down the middle of the chimney. So that is where I cheated death on that day. Gosh. One false move and I could have been gone.
Have you been up the ladder since?
I could have been spaghetti bolognese. I tell you what I have been. I've been very conscious of anything that involves climbing ever since I did that. Yeah. Back in the days when I worked with Chris Tarrant. I don't know if I've ever mentioned that on the radio.
No, I don't think you have. Well,
we go and do these shows in various tropical locations. And if there was anything risky to do, I would have to do it because he was insured by the company for so much money that I was insured for, you know, £5.50 and he was insured for several million pounds. So I'd be the one who had to do it. So if there was the world's tallest diving board or something like that, who would have to do it? You know, there was one occasion where I had to be dragged, and I've never done this in my life, and I certainly wouldn't do it again. I had to be dragged sitting in a tire by a speedboat along a lake. Well, I ended up being dragged along the lake in South Africa, upside down by the speedboat, because the person driving the speedboat hadn't noticed that I'd gone from sitting up at the top to being upside down. Cheated death there, too. If you've got a story that can beat them, then I'd love to hear from you. It's 0344-499-1000. Can I just say to you, Hayley, have you been cold this evening? It's boiling hot
in here. No, it isn't. It's freezing.
It's like a sauna.
You've got a scarf around your neck.
Oh, but Michael says to me, that wasn't the Elvis impersonator James Brown. That was the godfather of soul himself, Amy. Michael, the problem is, you see, that Amy is not of a generation that would remember such people.
But we've got the right one lined up.
But have we got the right one?
Matters, yes.
Okay, well, Michael, it's all right. But before we do any of that, we've got to talk to Colin in Albury. Hello, Colin.
Hello, mate. How are you?
I'm all right. What's going on in Albury?
It's a bit, well, war. All kinds of weird and wonderful things going on up here.
Oh, don't stop there.
Oh, dear. Oh, I wouldn't believe it unless I was living it. Anyway, it's been a while. It's been about a year or so since I spoke to you.
And what's happened in that intervening year? Has your life changed for the better, Colin?
Actually, it's been 2 years. It's been 2 years. I hadn't got this special dog that I've got now back then.
A special dog?
He's a special dog.
What does he do?
I had a ghostly experience when I first had him, and this old lady came up while I was adjusting his collar, and she, all I could hear at first was this squeaky wheel on the shopping trolley. You've got to imagine Diana Dawes in the old hag garb. And she just appeared from nowhere. I didn't even know she was coming. I'm onto the first thing on my list here, by the way. And I'm going in reverse.
Okay.
And this old woman, all I could hear was a squeaky wheel, and I had my old dog at the time, Carly, who's just passed away. And she'd been given 2 years to live, and I'd just got this other pup, so that my old dog would at least have had another puppy in her life before she passed away 2 years later. And I'm adjusting his collar, and I've only just got him, and I heard he was a giant American Akita.
An Akita? What's an Akita? What kind of... Is that a big dog, little dog?
It's a big dog. It's got bear in it.
Bear?
Yeah. The stories of how the Americans took them from Japan... they took the Japanese Akita and took them over to America.
I think they look a bit like wolves, don't they? But more kind of muscular.
He has got wolf in him. I ain't kidding. He's about the size of a St. Bernard, but he's like muscular. Very. He can sprint because I've trained him with a laser.
What's his temperament like, Colin?
He's brilliant. He loves kids. He's always hugging kids at the gate and all of that. But there's a magical thing with this one. He's amazing. And this old woman. She came up, I just got him, and she said, I see you've got your other dog then. Old Scottish accent. Never seen her before in my life. And she came up to me and she said, I see you've got your other dog then. You just lost your other one, didn't you? I've just lost Carly's sister back then. And then Carly went 2 years later.
How did she know that?
I don't know. But here's the ghost experience. And I first heard the wheel on the trolley squeaking. I went, as it was coming up the path towards me while I was bending down to yoga.
So what was it doing again?
It was squeaking.
And what noise was it making?
Like a squeaky wheel.
Just get that clear.
Don't get me doing impersonations. Otherwise
it's anyway, what do they call it? Theatre of the mind. We've got to tell people, you know, exactly what
you've got to get to this. This is the thing, see. Now she comes up and she says, I see you've got this other dog now. You've just lost your other one, haven't you? I says, yes. And I'd stood up by then. And this dog, Yogi, went straight to her and she bent down and petted him. And Carly normally warned strangers off. Carly accepted her to come and pet Yogi, right? That's his name. And she's petting. And she looked straight up at me and she was saying, oh, what a lovely dog. And she just raised her finger straight up at me and says, you look after this one. Now you've got a picture of the old hag in the Snow White story. With the clawed finger. And she said, you look after this one. He was given to you. You look after him, and he'll look after you. And I says, well, I'm good at him, obviously. She says, I know you will. You just do it. And that's an old Scottish accent she was using. And so she said, okay. And I said, okay. And she says, lovely dogs. You do well with them, and he'll do well for you. Anyway, so I started adjusting his collar again. And she went to walk off, as I'm going now. So she went to walk off, and I could hear the wheel squeaking again as it walked off. She had a little bit more of a chat to me, but that's the basics of it. And then all I could hear was that wheel squeaking off into the distance again. But it didn't go far before it completely stopped. And I looked up, and I couldn't see her anywhere.
Was that a shopping trolley?
And she also said, yeah, like a square one. You know the square one with the four wheels on? And she had a little flower in this, like, like a charity shop coat she had on, like Diana Dawes used to wear in the old hag thing she used to play in. She used to dress up sometimes like an old hag, didn't her, in these plays and things she used to do.
I remember.
I think just like her.
Especially in her later years, she sort of specialised in playing these
and
people
who... to me, as she was walking off, Howard, what I could hear her saying was, he's got the spark.
He's got the spark.
Now, here's the thing. People know about it round here. Here's the thing. At the time, I kept noticing a silver, like a white streak on his chest, like a streak of lightning when I first had him. A few weeks after, that streak grew into what looks like now a white dove with its wings out. Or in some cases, it can look like a spark. And I'm thinking, wow, is that what she's on about? And I've been thinking ever since. But now I'm seeing the intelligence and the way he's trained. The police have been saying I could do with him. in our school, in our dog school. And I'm also hearing people that they pull up in cars. I could pay money to see him in a film I've had. And I train him with a laser. He's as sharp as anything, but he's great with people who are great, nice people. He's good with them. He'll stand
on two legs. He's a good judge of character.
He'll stand on two legs, and he'll just stand there like a bear, and he'll drop his arms, and he looks like a bloke in a fursuit.
We'll have to bring him here to meet Hayley.
He's nearly 6 feet tall, and he stands on two legs.
Oh, my God. What does he eat? What does he eat?
Basically, what I only eat what I know a dog can eat. So I'll eat my veg, I'll eat my meat. And he eats basically that.
So you cook for both of you?
Two chicken legs a night. I've got another pet I've got to tell you about as well that's coming to our life as well.
Not a crocodile, is it?
No. But James was on about crows not long ago.
You don't have a... I don't think you're allowed to keep... Are you allowed to keep that?
You are, anyway. They're injured.
Okay. And you've nursed an injured crow?
Yeah. Storm Freya hit us in March, a week before my old dog passed away, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it blew this crow in front of me and Yogi while I was slipping him out for a walk. This was like the March, recent March we've had. And it was about the 4th or 5th of March. A few days before my old dog Carly died, this crow was blown into our life on the path in that storm. And I passed it 5 times, right? And I left it for a bit because I thought, well, I've got to get back to Carly. I was on meds. I was on the, you know, it was a few days before she actually went to get put down. But I thought, I'll leave it, and I walked past it, because you keep hearing the voices of Packham and Bill Oddie and them saying, let them go, don't touch, don't get involved. And I kept walking past that. I thought, I'll go and check on it while, she's asleep. I went past it, it was there again, couldn't flap its wings. Its wings was back to front, buckled up. And the fifth time I sneaked around and saw it, a cat was on it, lightning was flashing. And it had it pressed on the floor by both wings. It was about to take the crow's head off. And this crow was grabbing it by the nostril and shaking this cat's head.
The crow was winning?
The crow was on its back, but it was fighting for its life. And I thought, that crow wants to live. So I got my laser pen out. I put it in front of the cat. I said, Yogi, sort that. He went up. He didn't attack the cat. He stopped where the laser pointer was. The cat shrieked and jumped at the wall, and the crow got back on her feet. She was only a baby, right? So I said to the crow, because I'd asked her a few times, do you want to come now? You want to come back? Spend a few nights and get right? And she wouldn't come then. This is about the second time I'd asked her. Anyway, so I said, okay, I've done my bit, and I walked off. That crow followed us back to my gate. It walked all the way back here. And she's been here ever since. I've tried to let her go since. Few times, and I've been in touch with the RSPB. I know the woman that runs it round here, and I've been keeping her up to speed on it and everything else.
And has the crow got attached to you? It sounds like it has.
The crow is what they call imprinted.
In other words, thinks that you're daddy or mummy.
I'm sort of second daddy. Here's the thing, her family come here every day, and they'll sit on the fence and they'll talk to her. She's got an outdoor cage in the front garden here. And she's got an indoor cage.
I think you've done a good thing there. But, I mean, look, you're going to leave us with a mystery here. I've got to get to some commercials, but I'm going to ask you this. The woman with the trolley who said that she knew the dog and the dog was meant for you and she knew you too. Did you ever see her again?
No.
Oh, my God. And do one thing for me before you go, Colin.
Yeah.
What noise was that trolley making?
Oh, you're going to do it again, aren't you? I'm not going to sound like a mouse with your cups.
No, go on, please.
It was going, Now, that sounds like Snippy, which is the crow's name, when she wants to have a little mumble now.
I think that's absolutely brilliant. I can see it in my mind's eye, Colin. Hey, listen, thank you for telling me those stories, Colin. We're completely out of...
Family, keep in touch.
Okay, listen, okay. We're out of time, but thank you very much, Colin and Albury. Don't leave it 2 years next time. Our number here. Myself and Hayley, 0344-499-1000. We found the correct James Brown. This is the Elvis impersonator. We'll hear a bit from him coming next after this.
No nonsense, no prisoners, no substitutes.
Howard Hughes on Talk Radio.
You can find us at 0344-499-1000. We'd love to hear from you. Thank you very much for your tweets and texts and stuff. And Pete... Yeah, there I was telling my story of climbing the chimney, thinking that I'm doing the perfect Jean-Luc Picard here. I'm being Patrick Stewart. I'm doing it really dramatically. He thought that I was channeling Alan Partridge. Well, now you might have a point there, Pete. I may have to concede that, I have to say. But thank you. And if you want to tweet us, you can go ahead and tweet us. We found the correct James Brown, by the way, the one who is the impressionist who does Elvis singing songs that Elvis would never have sung were Elvis still alive, which of course we know he isn't. Let's hear a bit of him.
Big wheels keep on turning.
Oh, this is good.
Carry me home to my kin. Singing songs about the Southland. I'm with my family once again. And I think I should say yes. About her. There's no need to put her down. I hope Neil Young will remember. Southern man don't need him around anyhow. Sweet home Alabama, where the sky is so blue.
See, I'm learning stuff all the time here. We now know that there are two James Brown. People, there's the famous Godfather of Soul, who we did actually hear by complete accident. And there's also the guy who does the impression of Elvis Presley doing songs that Elvis Presley wouldn't have been alive to do. And that's one of them. I think he's good. What do you say?
Yeah, Elvis? Really good.
Michael, good call. Thank you for that. I'm going to check him out. Does he have albums out or what? I've got to hear. Harrison, thank you for your tweet. Harrison suggests that I bring my jingle collection in. Well, look, I've given Haley a couple of jingles, and so far, for reasons that only she knows, we haven't played them yet. What can I do? What can I do?
We just don't have the time. Well, we do have the time, we just haven't got round to it.
Well, I think
They're all ready to go.
Well, I'd say we've got the time and we've also got the inclination, so we better get playing them. Especially my fab American one.
It's a hint, Amy.
No, it's not. And maybe Hobart, Tasmania. And Matthew, how are you? In Mobile, Alabama. How are you keeping?
Hello.
Are you all right, Matthew?
Hello, you all right, Ian?
It's Howard here.
Hello, Howard.
Doing a very, very poor impression of Ian, but, you know, doing my best.
Hello.
Hello.
I've come on to talk about computer games. They've bring a new Call of Duty out on Friday, and it's going to be a good new main.
I didn't know, but how many so far have there been of Call of Duty?
There've been Black Ops 2, Black Ops 1, and Black Ops 3. And there's been Call of Duty World at War. They made the Xbox One, like, backward compatible with the 360 games, so you can play the old stuff and that.
Right.
Yep. Pretty good, you know what I mean? Pretty good games.
I mean, you're obviously a gamer, right?
I am a gamer, yes.
Explain,
I love my games.
Explain this to me. You know, you can buy these headsets, and some of them cost a small fortune. And some gamers stream themselves gaming, don't they? So that other people can watch what they do. Do you do that?
I do that as well, yep. I play on the game a lot. I listen to Alan Robson's Night Owls. I like Night Owls. You know, Night Owls.
I know Alan. He's in another part of the country.
Yep.
But when you do that, yep. I've often wondered about this. And now, I have to say, and this is my fault, I don't do games, right?
Yeah, but you don't do games.
I know a lot of people who do.
Yeah.
But why do you stream them?
Well, because you've got to stream over the internet, I think, by the way. The way it works is when a new game comes out, you've got to download it on your hard drive so you can play it, but it takes a long time, you know what I mean?
Mm. And this Call of Duty...
Yeah.
Why is it this... I mean, you're very excited about it, and I can see why. What's this one got that the previous one didn't have?
This one hasn't got zombies in it, this one.
Okay, what's it got then?
It's got Special Ops. It's going to be good... Good mode in it tonight.
And it's out. When is it out? We're giving them publicity.
It's out Friday.
Okay.
This Friday.
And when you get those things, when they come out, do you have to queue up somewhere to get them?
You've got to queue up at midnight.
Well, thank you for telling me about that. I wouldn't have known that, Matthew.
Can I do some shout outs?
You can.
A shout out to Marion, Jimmy. A shout out to Neil. A shout out to Jean from Redding. What can I go now for?
Okay, well, thank you very much, Matthew. That's Matthew, getting very excited about the new Call of Duty, available this week. According to Matthew, that is. You know, I know more than that. And, Hayley.
Yes.
What are you doing?
I think I might know who that was on the phone, so I'm just going to do some research.
Okay. Do you think we were being set up there and I haven't realised?
I could be wrong. Mm. I will come back to you.
Okay. He wasn't trying to give some publicity to somebody who doesn't deserve it, was he?
No. Just having a laugh, I think.
I think we'll find the laugh is not exactly in this direction, but tell you, who knows? Who knows? 0344-499-1000 is our number here. It's myself and Hayley. Just kind of shooting the breeze. It's nice though, isn't it? You think so?
Well, I think it is nice. Nice and relaxed. Chilled.
And we've got the interrogation lights on tonight though. Does Ian like to be in, you know, I know we have television cameras these days because everything is video as well. You know, you see everything these days. Radio has become television. Does Ian have those lights as bright as that?
No, he turns them down quite a lot as well.
You don't
he
like
did the
that?
Other night. I don't mind. As long as I can see my computer.
No, I just wonder, you know. I don't think I want to be streaming myself on television. I have to say, and I'm just being honest about this, I know people who do games, who are really into games and get as excited as Matthew did about that. Hijacking this show probably to publicize something that we need to check out,
well,
I would say.
The person I thought it was says it definitely wasn't them, and they're the sort of person that they would own up to it because they'd be quite proud of themselves. So Matthew was genuine.
Good work. I had that
Which
too.
Which is fine.
I knew all along.
Of course you did.
No, maybe, listen, if you're listening to this, can you help me out? These people who stream games,
yeah.
Right, they buy the best headset that you can get, and some of these headsets cost, you know, £100, more than that. And they have fantastic audio quality so that other people can watch them playing the game.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to say something here that is going to be, it's going to have me, you know, drummed out of whatever by a lot of people. What's the fun in that?
Well, it's like anything, watching anyone do anything, isn't it? It's like a spectator sport, isn't it? Why would it not be?
Okay, so it's like when I'm out and sometimes I see these guys on skateboards doing, you know, 360s and stuff like that.
You'll stand there and watch them, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Why would that be any different to watching somebody play a game?
I don't know. I get the feeling that I'd rather be doing it myself, really.
Well, if you can, I mean, great. I think there's quite a skill to it, though. You could be a gamer.
Well, I think I need to be giving this a try.
Are you going to give it a go?
I wonder,
the gamer?
I wonder if we can organise something so I can try this out. You know, I think I'll be crap at it, though. But you know,
you might have a hidden talent that you just don't know about.
Well, we're certainly not hearing it on the radio. That's for sure.
No, you just don't know.
Well, you don't know.
You don't know until you try.
You don't know until you try. You don't know until you discover these things.
Don't knock it till you try it either.
No. Let's get to the city of the brave. The greatest city on the planet. Liverpool. I say that because, of course, I'm one of its sons. Jackie. Hello, Jackie.
Oh, that's quick. Hi.
No, we don't mess about here.
Oh, no, we don't, do we?
We keep you queuing up.
Yeah. Right. It's just, you know, that fella talking about his dog and things that dogs pick up on and all that. I've got 5 cats, like Ian, he loves his cats, I love my cats. I've got 5, but one in particular is a white cat called Crystal. And I've had her for 8 years old, she is now. And I've had breast cancer twice.
No, I'm sorry.
And what cats do is, you know when they're kittens, they paw at their mother's teats to get food to stimulate them?
Mm-hmm.
Right, it sounds a bit weird, this, but my cat, Crystal, she is very antisocial. She doesn't go near anybody, and she very rarely comes near me. But the first time I found a lump in my left breast, she started to come to me and knead me in the chest.
So she knew.
She knew. She did know. I'm convinced that she knew. And I went, yeah. Okay, Crystal. Yeah, I know. Yeah. And I thought, do you know what? I'll get this checked out. It turned out I had grade 1 breast cancer.
Now, what? I mean, I have to say, what is grade 1? What is that an early stage
That's
or is that more serious?
Early stage. Yeah. Oh, so okay. She picked up on it, and I thought, why does she keep doing this? You know, and. In the end, I went to the doctors and they picked up on it. And it was grade 1, so I had the lump removed and everything was fine for 5 years. And then after 5 years, and she never did it again. After 5 years, she started doing it again. Now, the second lump, and I sort of felt round like you do, like you're told to check. And I do tell this story every time. People go, really? And she started doing it again, exactly the same place. So I went back to her doctor.
What did you think when she did that?
I just felt it, and I felt the second lump.
Mm.
So I went back to my doctor, and he referred me immediately. Within 2 weeks, I went back in. They said, yeah, okay, there's another lump there. They did another biopsy, and they said, right, okay, the breast cancer's come back. So I went, oh, right, okay. So another lumpectomy and whatever. He said, no, 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 it's got to come off this time. Oh, we've got to do a mastectomy. Mm-hmm. So I said, right, okay, fine. Yeah, I was a bit upset at the time, but I thought, yeah, do you know what? I'll go with it. He said, it's grade one, but we're going to have to take it off.
Mm.
So I went, right, okay, that's fine. So all was well. I've been clear again near enough 5 years now. So this white cat I've got, she's unreal, really. About 6-7 months ago, I started having a few, I call them deja vu moments, where something comes to me,
mm-hmm.
and I think, oh, I'm gonna start feeling funny in a minute, and my head starts to spin, and I feel nauseous and sick. So I started to panic a little bit, and Crystal started to start climbing up into my shoulder and nuzzling into my head. And I went, right, okay, now, Crystal, you're scaring me now. Because I was having these thoughts, and I kept passing out.
Oh, Jackie.
Yeah, but that's turned out what she was doing. She was climbing up, and then she sort of nuzzled into my head and started purring down my ear. And I joke about it now, and I go, yeah, okay, Crystal, that's enough now. You're getting a bit too spooky. Please go away. And she wouldn't. She kept climbing up. So I've had a brain scan, and everything's come back okay.
Good.
It turned out it was my thyroid treatment, and it was very high. But every time I have something wrong, so now when she comes near me, which she doesn't do very often, every time she comes near me, I go, whoa, back off. You know what I mean? But she's just weird.
That's number one. I'm really pleased that, you know, you're okay now.
Yeah, I'm fine.
Number two,
now,
I think that's an amazing cat. Number three, I don't think it's weird or spooky like you said at the beginning. I think those things happen all the time, and people say.
Yeah, they do. You know when they say the animals pick up on things.
I've got
Siamese hair, a tortoiseshell one, a ginger one, and a black one, which are my son's two cats, which I've sort of adopted. But she's the only one out of the five that tends to. So every time she comes and sleeps with me, or she, you know, she, I wake up in the night and she's sort of sitting on my shoulder looking at me, I'm going, nah, you're scaring me now.
But animals, I've never heard of a cat doing it. I've heard of dogs doing it and sort of sniffing out problems in people because they do it by smell.
I think cats are more aware than dogs. I really do.
I think a lot of cats come from a different planet, I think. I tell you what, though, animals, like you say, they're very empathetic. I saw a great video. You know, some nights I'm sitting there, and you know what it's like. You're on Facebook, and one video goes to the next video, and the next thing, you know, an hour and a half's gone by. One of these, look this one out if you can. I don't know how you would find it, Jackie, but you would tune into this definitely. It was about a horse, a great big horse, who goes into hospitals.
And
picks the people that he wants to comfort.
Yeah, I've seen it.
And
he's
actually, isn't that amazing?
I used to ride horses. I'm a big horse lover. Yeah, I've seen that.
I just thought that was amazing. If you see that video, that horse knows which wards, which rooms to go into, and knows the people that he's got to be with, and he nuzzles up to them.
Yeah.
And they come out, even if they're really seriously, in some cases terminally ill, they come out feeling better, but the horse knows it's weird. Jackie, thank you so much for telling me that story.
Oh, yes. So anyone who's got, you know, listen to your animals and whatever, I'll let you know if she comes near me again.
No, please do. And, you know, that's... That's an astonishing story. I'm glad you told it. Thank you, Jackie.
I love that.
Have a good night. Whereabouts in Liverpool are you, by the way?
Oh, I'm not in Liverpool, actually. I'm on the Wirral.
Oh, you're the woolly neck.
We have this argument with Ian every time.
You're on over the water, all right. Then.
I'm on the dark side. I'm on the Wirral.
I've got to go, otherwise my producer's going to get really angry because we're after midnight. This is Talk Radio. It's Howard Hughes here. Our number, 0344-499-1000.
No nonsense discussion.
Howard Hughes
on Talk Radio.
There's a star man waiting in the sky. He'd like to come and meet us, but he thinks he'd blow our minds. There's a star man waiting in the sky. He's told us not to blow it, cause he knows it's all worthwhile. He told me, let the children use it. Let the children use it. Let all the children do get.
Talk Radio, David Bowie, Howard Hughes, Ailey Hayes, and you, 0344. I'm sorry, that was as cheesy as hell. Howard Hughes, Ailey Hayes, and you. Gee whiz. Oh, I need to stamp on my
Partridge
own big toe
back.
For that. Oh, no, it's great, isn't it? Pete, thank you for that. You know, I wasn't quite feeling the game streaming vibe. Right, when
now
Matthew was
it.
Talking about... well, no, because Pete's explained it to me. Streaming a game is a bit like doing a radio show. That I get. There's a video game on screen instead. You're interacting with people in the chat. You're reacting to what's on the screen. It's a different form of performance. Ian does it. Ian? I thought he would. He probably would. It's great fun to drop in on. I wonder if we can arrange this so I can experience the world of gaming at first hand.
Do you know what? I think Twitter has to come first. I think we need to ease you into technology. So I think Twitter first.
Twitter first.
And then gaming.
Twitter, then gaming.
Yeah.
Okay. I do have an unexplained Twitter account. I just haven't...
You never use it.
...activated it.
No.
But I suppose I should have. I don't know.
Just
there's
call
probably...
yourself... Well, you can't be Howard Hughes.
Can I be the
definitely
real
gonna be one of
Howard
them.
Hughes?
That's probably taken too, is my guess.
Okay.
We'll find you a
Well, listen,
name.
I mean,
we'll
you know about IT and stuff, don't you? That I, in
sort
ways
of.
That I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe we can actually set it up while I'm on.
We'll give it a go by the end of the week,
okay.
Shall we?
All right, there's a promise. Should we get to Matthew? Let's get to Matthew, go on. Matthew! How are you?
Hello.
Again. Is it Matthew?
Hello, mate.
Is it same Matthew?
Yeah, it's the Night Owls one.
Okay.
I'm saying, are you getting that new computer game when it comes out?
What, the same one that you talked about before?
Yeah.
I don't think so. Why should I? You tell me why.
It's a pretty good game, you know what I mean? It's a pretty good game.
Well, I mean, yep. You're telling me that. It must be.
Do you play on the Xbox One or PS4? What's your name?
I don't have any of those things.
Oh, do you not talk it? What's your name?
I used to drive a VW Beetle.
What's your name?
What's my name? What's your name? Oh, no, I know your name. It's Matthew. My name's Howard. This
hello,
is Hayley. Say hello, Hayley.
Hiya, Matthew.
Hello. Kath's not on today.
Kath's not on today.
No.
But I think as soon as they come back, you need to call them immediately.
I probably will when they
back. You'll have the game then.
Probably, hopefully. Friday.
Right. Matthew, we've got to go, but have a lovely night. And I hope Friday, when you're queuing up outside the shop to get the game, is a good day for you. That's all I can say. I'm going to worry now.
About what? About the Xbox?
No, I'm going to worry about A, not doing that. You know, not doing the gaming. And B, well, I think there was probably a point that I'm not getting behind that call.
You're probably just, I think, a couple of years too old for it, is what I would say.
Well, maybe.
It's a generational thing.
But only one or two. Come on now.
Oh, yeah, just one generation.
Let's be fair about that.
Not two.
Because, you know, I can explain to you many things. Like, I know about 12-inch singles. I know about forgotten 45s, records that were in the charts, and people forget all about these days that were very good. You don't want to hear that, do you? No.
I'm up for anything, me. Within reason.
That's just it. 9 minutes past midnight. What's the date today? 22nd?
22nd of October.
It's the day when Hayley said, I'm up for anything. God. What? Howard Hughes, here. 0344-499-1000. If you're one of my international listeners, you're listening in some far-flung place, maybe Shane. Maybe Shane in Sydney is there. You can call us at 44-344-499-1000. If you want to text, you can text talking your message to 87222. If you want to tweet on the Twitter, it's at Talk Radio, and I promise, if I can, I'll get a Twitter going at some point this week.
Harrison says, how about Hughes on air? That's probably gone already, isn't it?
That's probably been done. Maybe. What about Howard on air? Is it possible? I mean, look, is it like domain names that you can search them and you can see whether?
Oh yeah, you can just type it in and see if it comes up.
Because when I got my unexplained domain, I had to search for them, and I wanted the unexplained.com, and of course that has gone. So I was able to get the unexplained.tv. So I suppose you can search Twitter handles in the same way, can you?
Handles.
I'm learning all the time.
Fork handles.
Yes.
Great lines.
Fork handles. Handles for forks. Now, we don't normally veer into the news agenda here. But there is a story that's kind of inflamed both our sensibilities, if that's the word, today, isn't there? Or yesterday, as it is now. And this is the story, and you'll know what it is when I come to it, of the mother, who is the mother of Britain's biggest family. This was in about three or four papers earlier yesterday.
At least.
This woman and her husband, she's pregnant again with her 22nd child. Now, she is not in Alabama or Arkansas. She's here in the UK. Sue Radford is her name. Husband's called Noel. She's 44. He's 48. They made the announcement in a YouTube video, which she showed a picture of an ultrasound scan of the baby, number 22. They're from Morecambe. And she says, so you know now, guys, we're having a baby. Now, the detail of the story, if we plumb down into the detail of the story, is that they live in you would need to have at least, I was thinking, 10-bedroom home. So they've got a 10-bedroom home, which they bought in 2004. Noel had a vasectomy during Sue's 9th pregnancy.
So then how did it happen?
That was third. No, hold on. It was reversed.
Oh.
Because they wanted more children, so they had another 13. and the names of the kids, I don't know. How would you tell them apart? How would you know? Wouldn't you forget? If you had 22 kids, you would, first of all, let's take it to basics.
Just slow down. I have so many questions here.
You would forget
their
names,
wouldn't
you?
So many questions. It's just not the names. It's... So she must have been pregnant for half her life, because it says she's 44,
Well, if she's
right?
44, and a pregnancy is 9 months times 22, that's about 15 years.
Yeah.
She's been pregnant for 15 years.
That's crazy.
And
that just doesn't make... I mean, if she loves it, and I'm sure she does, then good for her, but I just don't understand how your body can go through that.
Well, I would imagine there'd be a certain amount, I mean, let's not be too indelicate about this, a certain amount of collateral damage about that.
Yeah,
if you've had 22 kids. Well, 21 and another one on the way. I don't know, but, I mean, look, I'm a guy, right? You may have noticed. I look at this from practicalities, and if it was me, I would forget their names.
Paul, I just don't know. I think there's a limit to how many children one person needs or a couple needs, and I would say 22 is over and above, would you not?
Well, I mean, there's you know, we don't want to get heavy about this, but there's, you know, there's personal liberty that allows people to do whatever they want to do as long as they don't break the law, on one side.
Within reason, though,
on
surely.
The other side, there's sheer bloody common sense, isn't
exactly.
there?
Exactly.
I would have thought. 22 kids. And then there's another point here. And the first thing I thought is, who's paying for them?
Yes.
But then they claim £170 a week in child benefit.
It's not a lot, is it?
Now, that's not much. And it says in the paper they claim just £170 a week in child benefit. But then, living at the income scale that I'm at the end of the scale, £170 is a lot of money, really. And it's, you know, child benefit is coming from my taxes and your taxes. But I just think, in practical terms, is it right that somebody should have 22? I mean, people are allowed to do whatever they want to do.
And who's paying for the 10-bedroom house? Because I know I couldn't afford a 10-bedroom
house. Well, no, they bought 10-bedroom home for $240,000 in 2004. So
where?
That's what they've done. Where? Morecambe.
Right. Well,
you get half the seafront for $300,000 there. You know... I'm just looking at some names here. There's Chris, there's Sophie, there's Chloe, there's Jack, there's Daniel, there's Luke, there's Millie, there's Katie, there's James, there's Ellie, there's Amy, there's Josh, there's Max, there's Tilly, there's Oscar, there's Casper, there's Haley. No, Hallie.
There's a Haley.
Well, I think it's a Haley or a Hallie.
Oh.
It's one of the two. There's Phoebe and there's Archie. And Chris and Sophie have moved out.
Right.
But all the others, that's the other 18, I think. Sadly, one child that they had, their 17th, was stillborn. But the others are at home.
Wow.
I don't know. I mean, in practice...
How do you even cook for a family? Do you know what I mean? Do you reckon they all sit down to dinner at the same time? Or they must have different scenes,
well, no, they've got to
they?
Do it in shifts.
Yeah, shifts.
Otherwise, you've got the world's biggest kitchen table. It's going to be like going to a hotel, isn't it? Where they do, so, you know, eat as much as you can stuff.
It's one of those ones where I'd love, like, Louis Theroux or someone like that to go and live with them for a week and see how it works. Because the logistics of it must just be crazy, right? Eating, washing, getting them out to school in the morning.
You know, we have to say that people are allowed to do whatever they want to do. But 22 kids.
That's crazy.
Having more than, I don't know, my mum and dad used to say that they were happy that they'd only had the two, happy that they'd only had the two of me and my big sister Beryl.
So imagine 20 more of you.
So if there were two, like, well, you wouldn't want another 19 or 20 like
well, that's
me.
True,
you know that.
But imagine, yeah.
I just don't know how you would cope with the logistics. Also, you know, my mother had enough trouble getting moments to herself, you know, right until I was 20, whatever. So how does, Sue, and Noel for that matter, how do they get even 2 minutes to themselves when they've got kids who range in age from...
I was gonna go there, but you've gone there already. How do they get the time to make these babies?
Well, I'm sure they can make the time for that. If you're pregnant for 15 years, then there's probably a calculation to be done. That will tell you, probably quite scientifically, how much time you spend, you know, conceiving.
Right.
I would have thought.
I just don't know where they get the time.
So if we say 15 years being pregnant.
Right.
And if we say a conservative estimate, 6 months in the act of conceiving. Is that fair?
No, because she sounds super fertile.
Really?
Oh, come on. 22 kids and she's not fertile.
I think, as we say in Liverpool, we've only got to look at her and she's pregnant. I don't know. It's an astonishing story. It's a great achievement. Well, I just think there was a story in the news, I think it was today, maybe it was over the weekend, that the population of this country is going to reach 70 million.
Right.
And the 22 are going to be part of that 70 million, you know, using resources and everything else. But let's leave all of that apart, because that is above my pay grade, right? Let's just think about the practicalities.
That's what I mean, the logistics.
Of having 22 kids, 20 of whom, thereabouts, give or take one or two, are still at home. I can't imagine what life at home is like. I mean, look, if you know them, or maybe you're listening now, I'd love to talk to you about this, because there's obviously a formula for you that works for having so many kids. I don't know. I mean, look, if you're hearing me now and you've got a lot of kids, maybe you've got 8 or 10 or 12, talk to me about that. Now, you can easily pull down what I say by saying, well, you haven't got any kids of your own, have you? You don't know what the joys are. And I don't. You know, that leaves me vulnerable and right open to the whole thing. But at least I can kind of stand back as an outside observer and say, I think any number more than 6 is probably a hell of a lot. And by the time you get to 22, that's absurd, don't we think? Your thoughts on that? I can't believe I'm saying that. Hey, your thoughts on that? I mean, just, you know, maybe you've got a lot of kids and you can tell me about how great it is. And how you manage to organise it, that's the one thing I want to know. And so does Hayley. 0344-499-1000. We are Talk Radio.
Controversial conversation and outspoken opinions.
It's
on Talk Radio.
Harrison, thank you very much. We were talking about me getting into the world of Twitter, which I've resolutely and stoutly refused to get into. Just because I've seen so many people who've, you know, made complete fools of themselves.
You can choose not to, you know.
No, well, I think I've got to do it. I've got to put my toe in the water, haven't I? So this could be the week to do it.
Leap into the 21st century.
So Harrison has already, you know, I didn't even know how easy it is to set these things up, but he set me up a Twitter account. It's at Hughes on Air. Okay, one word. I know that sounds a bit out of, but hey, at Hughes on Air. But it's as good as anything.
I think
Harrison.
It works.
But the most important thing about that is it's so kind. So we're gonna give it a workout this week, yeah?
I wanna know what your first tweet's gonna be. What's your first tweet gonna be?
Oh, God knows.
You're gonna have to think of something quite cool. You've got to, like, you know, make an entrance into the Twitter sphere.
Okay. I'm here and I'm here to stay. Not here and here to stay. Ian Lee's back next week. Don't worry about that, but you know what I'm saying. You know what I'm going, would that be good? Or is it gonna be more of a declaration?
I think we need to put some thought into it.
Never in the field of broadcasting has so much been given by so few for so many.
You haven't got any followers yet.
I know that. I probably
do you want me to follow you?
Well, yes, I think you need to start. Yes, I need one.
We'll start you off.
And I'm sure Amy will follow me, won't you, Amy?
I will, yes.
There you go.
We'll follow
There's
you out the building tonight. How about that?
And then Harrison set it up, so there we got three. So I think we've started. Harrison, what have you started here? You started me off on a holy... No, it's good. Hugh's on air, and Robin in America, my friend. Robin is wonderful. Robin sent me a book. Very recently.
Oh, yeah.
And it wasn't, you know, The Idiot's Guide to Broadcasting, which it should have been. It was about the Dyatlov Pass mystery.
Oh.
Which is a mystery from the 1950s from deepest Russia, from the Ural Mountains, right? Where a bunch of very fit young students, I think they were, went out on a camping expedition in a really forbidding place that was deep in snow, where the winds were high and would blow really powerfully. And they all perished. Quite disturbingly, they left their tents in the middle of a storm. They were not wearing the right clothes for it. They were semi-dressed. They didn't have proper shoes on or anything, and they were found contorted and dead. And to this day, nobody is entirely sure what they encountered. Some people say, was it some kind of military radiation that they encountered? Did they encounter the Yeti, you know, the abominable snowman there? Did the Yeti do that? What was it? But their faces in death were contorted in fear. And the book is all about it. It's a new event. So Robin was kind enough to send me that. Also with a very nice card that made me laugh, that I'll bring in because it's a great gag on it. The punchline is about farting.
Moving on.
All right. Natalie, how are you? Natalie.
Hi, Howard. Hi, Hannah.
It's Hayley, but it's okay.
Hayley,
sorry.
That's okay.
Yeah,
it's
not even
a H. Oh, no.
No, it's HH and
HH. I forgive you. Right. You're forgiven.
So I'm just, I'm on the drive home from work and I've pulled in, like, I'm on this lane. I hope nobody thinks I'm, like, dogging or anything. It's really spooky where I am. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to ring because on the drive to work, I was listening to, Eamon and Dan was on from The Sun, and they were talking about Meghan and Harry.
Yeah, they were. I heard them, yeah.
So, I've not seen the documentary, but I was really annoyed with them, and I was quite upset, because I felt like they were so biased as to agree with the people that don't like Meghan, and Harry's changed.
Were they doing that? I don't think they were doing that.
Oh, I felt that they were doing it. I don't think they had anything nice to say about that at all.
And what do you think about Meghan?
I don't really have an opinion. I'm not a big fan of them and I don't dislike them, but I think everybody's got kind of a special thing for Harry and William because of what happened to their mom. Mm-hmm. And I think...
I think you're dead right about that. I think one of the things that a lot of the media who talked about this today, or yesterday as it is now, they forgot to just take a little deep breath. And if they were able to, if they were of the right age, and maybe you are, Natalie, I certainly remember because I worked on it, the death of Princess Diana and the impact that it had on those two little boys who, you know, I was standing on the top of a building commentating on the funeral procession. And I saw those two little boys walking behind, or rather walking in front of that gun carriage with their mother in it. You know, it's an image that went around the world and would break your heart. And they had to live their lives and will have to continue living their lives with the knowledge that that is how their mother died.
And they got to see everything in the papers before she died, like when she was on the yacht with Dodie, everywhere she was with Dodie. Mm. There's press of the divorce, of Camilla, of everything that Charles did do. And I'm not a royalist by any means, but they've got access and had access all their lives to everything that the press have ever written about their mom. And I think he's terrified that the same thing is going to happen to his wife, who he clearly absolutely worships.
You know, I mean, the only thing that is going in their favour is that we've all learned a lot more, and the royal family are not going to lie down and take it quite as they did in the past, where, you know, papers would write all kinds of stuff. You know, we're in a different era now, where people answer back. I think.
I don't think the press have learned. I think they've forgotten, like, what an impact it had around the world. And I think they're doing exactly the same. No disrespect, because I know you're in the media. You're one of the nice ones. And I don't think you would want to, like, hurt anybody. I think you're really lovely and you've got a lovely voice to listen to as well.
That's very nice. Now, listen, you know, that's not to say that the media, as people say, shouldn't call out things that need to be called out. So, for example, if, you know, if certain members of the royal family are flying around the place on private jets whilst also espousing the cause of saving the planet, then, you know, we need to be saying something about that. But yeah, I agree with you. Some of the coverage needs to be toned and tempered, and we have to remember that at the bottom line of all of this, you know, they're real people. They're people who have a life. They have, you know, they're trying to build a family. And everybody deserves to be given a break, I think, even if they're royal and even if they're famous. And that's just my two cents worth. It's probably not worth anything. That's what I think.
But my opinion isn't worth anything, but I just thought I would ring you. It's like them people who've had all the children. My dad is one of 16.
Boy, oh boy. When was that, though? That was a different era.
Oh,
people had loads of kids
God,
then.
Oh, God, my dad's 73. My dad's 73, but there's some younger and some older.
Mm.
So I think my oldest auntie is about 86, 87. There's a few of them not with us anymore. And it's weird because it's the boys. The boys, he hasn't lost one sister yet, my dad. He lost a little sister when she was 5. But the girls have all got to a good age. And my dad was one of 16. And my granddad worked on the railway. My nana didn't work. And they had nothing.
And in fact, that is one of the, you see this in third world countries now, don't you? It's one of the reasons why people had big families then. You know that I'm from Liverpool, and my relatives definitely came not from what you would call the right side of the tracks. I mean, they were poor. You know, the ones who went through the Depression, they were starving a lot of the time. You know, my father would tell me stories of the Depression in Liverpool, where they would go out and just as the shops were about to close in Liverpool, they would buy the fruit and vegetables that were going off, the ones that they were getting rid of. They'd get them cheap and they'd make soup with them, and that's how they lived. But in those days, if you had a big family, that was a way of helping to keep you going, because, you know, each one of those kids would grow up and they'd all get a job, and they, if they were still living at home, and even if they weren't, there was a tradition that they would pay a little bit into the family.
Yeah.
You know, that's how things were. But I'm not sure how that translates to today, in this day and age, with somebody having 22 kids. I'm not sure.
My dad always says he can't remember getting a cuddle off me nana or me granddad. Mm. Because there was just so many of them. They were clothed and they were fed. But like, I've got two boys. Mm. My eldest is 15, and then I've got an 11-year-old, and that is like, I couldn't have had any more than two. I don't know how she's got 22 children. I don't know.
And how do you afford that too? Because, you know, you've got two kids. We keep reading in the papers calculations of how much it costs to feed and clothe and send to school, buy uniforms and all the stuff that kids want these days. How do you do that times 22? I have not even the faintest idea. Look, I don't have kids. I'm not capable of doing it even with two. You know, I've met people over my life who said, Howard, you'd be a wonderful father. I don't know. The thought of it has always terrified me. So I take my hat off to anybody who does, because I had, you know, wonderful, loving parents who were, you know, we little family, but they knew how to look after me. I couldn't do that. And I take my hat off to anybody who does. And I say that honestly. But 22.
Sure, I mean, I work really hard. I've been at uni since about 7 this morning. I got there, and then I'm training to be a nurse.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm a mature student. And then I've finished uni and I've gone to work, and I've just finished now. So my husband works full time. Like, it's really hard, and that's with two. And they're not, like, we haven't got, like, loads of money. Mm. You know, we're just normal. We're comfortable, but we're not well off.
Mm. And it's for everybody, unless you are independently wealthy, which we know. We've only got to look at, you know, some of our politicians. We know that there are people like that. But unless you are, and I'm not, and you're not, you've got a graft. So how you graft to feed 22 mouths, or 10 mouths, or 14 mouths, I have no idea. And I'm not here attacking that. I'm just saying that I'm bemused and gobsmacked by it. I don't get how in this day and age, you know, you can do that. Hayley's been very quiet. I know Hayley's got thoughts about this.
Oh, I've just been, sorry, I've been distracted. You've got 35 followers on Twitter now.
Oh, God.
And you've not even logged in yet.
Are they saying anything?
No, not yet.
God. Well, maybe I shouldn't look at those. Look
no,
at those.
It's tonight. Cool.
So, Natalie, fair play to you, and I wish you all the best for, you know, we're 2 months from Christmas now. I hope the family have a lovely Christmas. You sound like a great couple.
I wish you all the best on Twitter.
Thank
Good
you.
Luck.
Thank you. Tweet me, will you?
Yes.
Natalie?
I don't tweet. I haven't got time.
Well, come on.
Oh,
I did.
Come
I said
on.
That.
If Howard can do it.
When I came into work tonight, I was, what's that word? Luddite. I was a Luddite.
You were Twitterless.
I was Twitterless. I was bereft of Twitter. So if I can do it, and I'm dim, you can do it.
Well, technically you didn't do it. Harrison did it for you.
Yes, I know. Harrison did it. A listener did it for me. Natalie, thank you very much. Good night.
Night-night.
0344-499-1000. We are Talk Radio. Howard Hughes. Avec. No, that's right. Avec Hayley Hayes. We're doing it.
With. Right.
Well,
okay.
We're in a small
Bonjour.
European in view of Brexit.
Second
time I mentioned
that. That's true.
Avec. With. It's good in there, eh? Don't you think? All right. Steve in Mobile, Alabama. How are you? Oh, on a mobile. I've done that joke before. How are you, Steve? Are you there, Steve?
Howard, you okay?
I'm all right, Steve. How are you keeping?
Yeah, good, thank you, mate. Yeah, just going back to what you said about dogs and animals picking up on things. I'm going to try and paint some pictures with words here. I need to take you back to Bonfire Night 2007. Round up my pals. Quite a lot of us round there. Anyway, fire died down. We're all back in the house, etc., etc. And my pal had a dog. And it was these, you know, the dogs with the rubber ball head off Oliver, like a bull terrier?
Yeah, another one. Little stubby legs.
Yes, exactly. But quite a stocky, powerful dog. Yeah. Anyway, Ernie. And he sat there. Well, sorry, he was stood there. And he stood and he's staring at my partner. And she sat in a chair. And my mate's missing. She got a little bit paranoid. She's like, Ernie, come away, come away. Anyway, he just kind of staring at her tummy. And then my mate come over, and he had to get a bit physical with the dog, because he's quite a stocky fella. And, come on, Ernie, come away. And he pulled him away with his collar, went straight back and stared at her stomach. And then my mate's missus, who's she's a medium, she's into all spiritualist stuff, she looks at my partner and said, you're pregnant, are you? Now, bearing in mind, we've gone through several attempts at IVF. Get our little girl. We kept it quiet. Little girl born at the end of April, and my partner nodded and smiled. She went, "Yeah." She said, "The dog knows," and the dog never left the side from there. And even though he didn't stare at her stomach anymore, he just sat aside of her. They must know.
Well, they do, and I think because dogs, don't they say the dogs have got a sense of smell a thousand times more sensitive than ours? You know, on a basic level, but I think it works probably beyond that. They can smell the hormones, pheromones.
Yeah, possibly so. I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, we had several, you know, attempts that failed, and we got there eventually, and obviously she and now our little girl with us, bless her. And
what about the dog?
The dog's, he's passed on, bless him. He was about 8 or 9 years old at that point. But it was bizarre. He was staring at my partner's stomach. And everyone, Ernie. And it was quite embarrassing and bad, you know, from the pal and his missus. But he would not leave aside. But we said nothing to nobody because we had so many letdowns, Howard, trying to get near. They do pick up on things.
And, definitely. You know, they are a member of the family. So, you know, that experience that you had, and you tried so hard, it's almost like the dog knew, and the dog was part of the family.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So, albeit my pal's, you know, it was pal's dog, but the dog knew. He just actually stared, and it was just surreal. And I thought, well, I know what he's looking at, and obviously, I'm partnered as well, but my pal's missus, like I say, she's into all spiritualist stuff. And she looked at my partner and she went, "You're pregnant, aren't you?" And she smiled and nodded. And obviously she won. We've got her now. So
that's a hell of a story. And I think that kind
that's
of stuff, Steve.
From my little girl's life.
Well, you know, that kind of stuff happens more than most people I think people accept it more now, but it happens more than most people would accept. Thank you for the story, Steve. Have a good night.
No problem.
And all the best to your little girl, too, and your other half as well. Naomi says on a text, what is your Twitter name so that I can follow you? You want to do that, Naomi? Okay. And I need to be able to spell your name so I can get it right. It's Hughes, H-U-G-H-E. I can't believe I'm saying this. Hughes, H-U-G-H-E-S, on air.
That's
and
it.
It's at before that.
Yeah, yeah.
At Hughes
That's
on air.
It, yeah.
Now, that bit I know, I'm going to have to work out how to use it now that I've got it. But then it's, look, small steps, baby steps. We'll get there in the end. Our number here at Talk Radio is 0344-499-1000. I am Howard Hughes. You try living with that name. Well, don't start me on that. You know, I tried changing my name once, you know, for
Did
radio.
Did you? What were you going to change it to?
Well, people were laughing at it. You know, Howard Hughes, famous eccentric American, you know, multimillionaire.
You wish, yeah.
Man who hid himself away for years. Man who had tissues all over his room because he was afraid of germs and he would walk on the tissues. You know, but he was also a genius and an inventor. But anyway, I got a little bit concerned about using that name on air, on the radio. What people think of Howard Hughes, okay? So I decided to make myself, for a very short time, Duncan Brown.
Where did that come from? Was it just think of any two names and go for it?
There was a great, I'm glad you said that. There was a great record in back in the 70s. There was a record called Journey.
Right.
By a man called Duncan Brown.
Yes.
And I really admired the guy because he was a one-hit wonder. And I think I don't think he's still with us. I think he might have died quite young. I don't think it was with an E at the end. It was Duncan Brown.
Right.
One hit wonder, one of the most beautiful songs you will ever hear. It was a big hit sometime in the 1970s, is never, ever played on radio. And his other claim to fame was, I think he did the theme tune from a Granada TV drama. And I think it was called something like Running Man. And as far as I know, those were the only two things that Duncan Brown ever did. So I thought,
I'm going to be Duncan.
That is one cool dude. And I thought, you know, Duncan Brown sounds like a DJ.
Yeah.
You know, there's a guy on air called, in London called Duncan Johnson. Had a big voice like this. Died last year. Big American voice. He was on Capital. Hi there, Duncan Johnson here. So I thought, I'm going to be a DJ.
He sounds like Howard Hughes.
Duncan. Well, maybe, I don't know. Not quite so mid-Atlantic, perhaps. But, you know, Duncan, great DJ name. If I'm going to be a DJ, let's be a Duncan. Brown. Nice name. Put an E on the end, gives it a bit of class, and means that I'm not getting mistaken for the other one. So for a very short time, and whenever I would write letters to magazines about radio, complaining about the BBC, or whatever I'd be doing, which I occasionally did, I would make myself Duncan Brown. And because Amy is the greatest technical producer employed on a stipend by Talk Radio, Amy's found the song by Duncan Brown. Let's have a bit of it. Go on. That's great.
Cut all the corners. Step on the old routine. Oh, what a joke these 24 years have been. Honey, in my mind, I can see your star. I know who you are. I've been learning. All right, so now we know which way the wind's gonna blow. Let's get up and go, no returning. Pack up your sorrow, put away your evening star. But don't change your clothes, I like you just the way you are. I know you've been sleeping under a big black cloud.
Now, look. In my defense, I will say, I know that song is like kind of straight out of the back end of the 1960s into the first 5 years or so of the 1970s. And it's sort of riddled with psychedelia. But I just think that's a great tune. And Duncan Brown, I know nothing about Duncan Brown at all. But I just thought he was so cool that I wanted to take his name. And I did. Duncan, I'm sorry if that ever annoyed you, but I don't think he's with us anymore. But I just thought he was somebody that we needed to hear more from. It's just my personal thought. and that's how I got my DJ name. You wanted to know that, didn't you? Kyle and James and Nigel and Mark, stand by. We're going to be trying to talk with you before we get to Daryl Morris after 1 o'clock here at Talk Radio.
No nonsense discussion.
Howard Hughes on Talk Radio.
Oh, that'll be me then. The artist formerly known as Duncan Brown, with Hayley Hayes here, without whom I could not be doing any of this. Like we say, Daryl Morris is on air after 1 o'clock. We'll talk with him just before the hour to see what's going to be occurring on his show. Kyle in Rochdale. Kyle, how nice to hear you again.
Hi, Howard. Hi, Hayley. You okay?
Hiya. I'm good. What's going on with you?
Well, I was going to say, it's a very quick one, Connor. You've got loads of calls. And again, you've talked about loads of things. I've made like a little mental note so I don't forget. But I was going to, it reminded me of an old joke. I think I said a Yorkshire one on Twitter. But I know you're coming from Liverpool, Howard, so I really don't want this to upset you. It's an old Jimmy Tarbuck joke.
I've got a thick skin.
Well, when you were talking about the lady, the couple who have got quite a large number of children, and it reminded me of the old Scouse joke about what four words do you use for matrimony in Liverpool?
Okay.
Well, you know, everyone thinks, will you marry me? But the genuine reason is, you're not, are you?
I think we can take that one on the chin then, Kyle. I'll have to find one about Rochdale for you.
Well, I was going to say, being a Lancashire... Well, we are both Lancashire, if you go back to the old boundaries.
Yes, we are. I mean, my school books used to have Lancashire Education Committee on the front.
Well, you see, we are now this Greater Manchester below me. And the other thing, sorry, really quickly, was about the names. This is, and I might have said this to you before, but it's absolutely true. My ex, sort of missus, or whatever... Her daughter went to school, and she got introduced to her new classmates, and literally, one of the girls was called Paige Turner,
as in
P-A-I-G. And that's absolutely true, I promise you, Hayley. And you just sort of think...
What were her parents thinking?
Well,
they were geniuses!
Sort of,
that's brilliant!
Really?
Yeah,
really,
that is brilliant.
I went to school, and she was a very nice person with a rosa plant.
Paige Turner. I did have a couple of political points, but I know you've got loads of calls, so, and it's not that sort of show.
Well, alright, no, save them up for tomorrow. I mean, we can always go there, but let's save them up for tomorrow. Kyle, nice to hear you.
Absolutely fine. Have a good show, Bob.
Take it. Okay, good night. James in Kent. How are you diddling, James, as we say up north? How are you keeping? I've been speaking to Kyle from Rochdale, so I'm going to talk like that now. How are you keeping?
Yeah, good, thanks. How are you, Howard?
I'm very good, James.
I must admit, you caught me off guard when I turned on my radio and I heard you. I thought, hang on.
It's always a shock, isn't it?
I thought it was Sunday night, so I thought I'd missed an entire day or something.
Well, sure. We're giving you more of the experience, I think. You know, we're trying to give it, you know, we're spreading it around. I think that's the word.
Yeah. And hello to you, Hayley.
I'm good, thank you. You're all right?
Yeah, not bad. Was it you who answered the phones?
No, that's Amy.
Oh, that's Amy. Oh, okay. Well, you both sound absolutely lovely.
Oh. Well, they definitely are, James. Definitely are. Sorry. Well, listen, I'm glad you're enjoying the show, James.
Well... Yeah, well, I just
deepest, darkest Kent.
Well, it's pretty cold at the moment. But, that last guy with some of his funny names, he gave me, he just reminded me of a couple of things. I was once in, and now I don't know if it was put there as a joke, but I was once in a doctor's waiting room and I picked up a leaflet off the table. And it was a leaflet about laser eye surgery, and apparently it was written by a Dr. Seymour Clearly.
I don't know. Those things happen. There used to be, I never forget this, in the Midlands, there was a press officer for the Severn Trent Water Authority, and his name was Alan Spray. Spray. He worked for a water authority. So sometimes those things happen. I think, what are they called? There's a posh name for people who have names that match the things that they do, and I think it's nominative determinism. and sometimes, God knows where that came from. You can use that one if you want, James. Nominative determinism. And it's where somebody is called something that, something like, Alan Gardner, who's got a gardening business, a gardener. That sort of thing, you know?
Yeah. You've just reminded me, I was chatting with my, my brother and his girlfriend a couple of weeks ago.
sorry, it was me coughing.
What's that word? We were talking about words that sound like what they are, so like, you know, crackle or crunch.
Is that onomatopoeia?
That's onomatopoeia.
Yeah, that's it, onomatopoeia.
I got a point.
She says it comes out there, comes out here. Good onomatopoeia. Right.
But, that we were talking about onomatopoeic, and it's kind of, it's not the same, but it's a similar kind of thing that the word you just used to describe names that describe sort of what they do or something. It's a similar kind of process, isn't it?
I think it is. But you know, how that works, I have no idea, but you will look at so many fields and areas and companies where there will be people who've got names that are exactly appropriate to what they do. It's almost as if some kind of hidden hand up there decides that, well, James.
That's it. I've heard before that, people would choose names because of what they did. So, you know, someone like Stephen Baker was literally a baker, so that's why in the sort of olden days that was what people were called.
Oh, I'm sure that's true. Yeah, that's
true. It's like Smith as well, for like if somebody was a blacksmith, they were known as Mr. Smith or something.
It all goes back to the, and if you look at the origins of many of our names, they go back to things that people did. Not always. And, you know, there are different traditions in different places. Like, if you go to Wales, you will see that somebody might be called something something. So it might be Arvon Ap Gwilym. And that word Ap means son of. So it's one of those places, like Iceland, I think, does the same thing. I used to know a woman in Iceland called Bergljot Baltas daughter. And that meant that she was the daughter of the man called Baltas. She was Bergljot Baltas daughter.
I've heard that about my uncle and I. My uncle lives in Bergen in Norway, and he and I were talking about this the last time he came over to England, which was back in the summer. And it was like the name Robinson. It's like
son of Robin.
Yeah, the son of Robin, Robin's son. And yeah, it's just really interesting when you kind of delve into all these little subjects.
James, I'm totally with you on that, and thanks for calling me there, because I'm completely on the same page as you are, going back to Paige Turner, who somebody is telling me that there was a Paige Turner who was an adult film performer. I don't know whether that's, it kind of sounds about right, but I'm sure it's a completely different Paige Turner. Let me make that very, very clear. Adele, thank you for your, Adele, thank you for your tweet tonight. Robin is telling me that I've got 60 followers now.
That is pretty cool for being on Twitter for 10 minutes however long.
At Hughes on Air. And thank you very much, Mark. I got the Duncan Brown thing completely wrong. I said Duncan Brown had that hit that we heard, but also did the theme for a Granada TV program. And I got the name of the program completely wrong. It's called Travelling Man. And I think, Mark, wasn't it? It was an instrumental. It was a great tune.
That's so Partridge.
Oh, no.
Travelling Man as well, in his travel lodge or whatever he used to stay in.
Do you know, I used to do that. I had a little period of working in Luton.
Right.
On the radio there. The radio there. Here, we worked in Luton on the radio there. And because Luton is like 50 miles away from where I live, and instead of doing what a sensible person would do, because I was doing the Saturday breakfast show in Luton, I would drive from home and stay in a hotel next to the radio station. And I did a deal for 40 quid or something to stay in this hotel. And the first night I did it, I made myself a cup of tea, and I looked out of the window there, and I looked at the bed, and I thought, you are Alan Partridge.
Did you get your dinner from the service station, the garage?
It's very sad. I some nights I'll just go and buy a sandwich.
Aww.
And sit in my room like Nobby No Mates. And some nights I'd treat myself to a pizza down the road.
Oh, well, that makes me sad.
No, I met some lovely people there, though. Very early on, I said there were a lovely couple who ran a news agent round the corner. And on a Saturday morning, 5 a.m., I'd be putting the radio station on the air at 6. Every morning on a Saturday, I'd go around and see them. And we'd just talk about life and everything. And they were two of the hardest working people I've ever come across in my life. They were both lovely. I don't know whether they're still there in the centre of Luton. But they would be up 4:30, and they would be still working that place until the evening. You know, I'd have done my radio show, and I'd have, you know, tootled off home by then, but they were still doing their stuff. I've got a story about everywhere, Hayley, as you heard.
Oh, I just love it.
But you know, names can be a curse. They can be. You know, you're talking to Howard Hughes here. To some extent, it's been good because people laugh and they never forget you.
Exactly.
If you're reading the news, then it's Howard Hughes with the news. So that rhymes, and that's okay. But just imagine, my sister worked at a bank, and one of the people who worked for the bank was called Richard Head. You imagine being Richard Head.
Yeah.
I'm sure there are lots of them, probably famous. But it's not, you know. Yeah,
I think we would change my name. Well, I don't think I'd be called Richard, but if I was called Richard Head, I think I'd change my name.
Harrison.
How bad would it have to be to change your name?
Fairly.
Yeah.
And, you know, with people doing that all the time. Harrison, I just want to say you've contributed to my life. No end you have. Absolutely no end.
You'll be cursing him tomorrow.
No,
trust
no,
me.
No. By setting up my Twitter account, I now have got 60 followers. And we only announced this, this history maker moment. We only announced it. When was that? About 30 minutes, 40 minutes ago?
Yeah, not long.
That's an amazing. And you see, Daryl Morris, had you been in this studio 30 minutes ago?
Yes.
You would have been watching the germinative moments of history being made, if that's a word.
How exciting. I need to do a follow. Do I need to do a follow?
Yes, you do.
Of course you do.
What's the, what is it, Hughes on air?
I'm hearing
rumours. Rumours are circulating. They're flying around the building. Security guards have been coming up to me. Rebecca Brooks is in the lobby signing people up now as we speak.
Well, I should hope so.
Rupert Murdoch's flying over. Hughes on air, is it?
Yeah.
At Hughes on air.
I've got something terrible's happened. I can't get on the internet.
No.
Hughes on air. No, I can't. I'm sorry. You're going to have to wait for that.
It's all right. We've crashed the internet. That's what it is.
You've broken the internet.
The whole of the internet is now down.
We have taken Twitter down.
Because people are rushing to follow Hughes on air. Because I know that Harrison, who's a regular, who's a wonderful guy, Harrison, he set this up for you. Are you gonna get involved?
Gosh,
are you gonna do
say
it?
I will. Yeah, but Harrison's taken the trouble to do that.
Are you actually though?
Yes, I'm gonna be on that like a blanket. I'm gonna be all over that.
Welcome to the cesspit. Welcome, my friend.
You speak for yourself.
This you are. Yeah, you're celebrating this as being a very exciting moment for you, and I think that you will probably look back and regret this.
No, look, this is one of the moments where, you know, Howard Hughes came up to date. If I tell you that for years, I do this podcast.
Yeah.
For years, I recorded the podcast and nobody ever knew on a mini disc. And I was still doing it until last year.
Really?
When mini disc was about 10 years out of date. And it's only in the last year that I've actually gone to recording proper WAV files professionally. No one ever noticed. I was still with the old technology. So you record on the mini disc and then you copy it into your computer. And it takes as many minutes as the mini disc takes to play to put the sound in your computer. That's how retro I am.
Wow. I understood maybe a fifth of that. I don't know.
Well, what's going to be on your show then, Daryl?
No, hang on. Breakthrough. I've got the internet back.
Oh, good.
And I can now.
I think so.
Followed. There you go. Done it.
Brilliant.
It's happened. Big moments.
You're
73 followers you've got now, Howard.
Look at that.
73.
50 of those my family. What's on your show then?
Coming up tonight, we're going to be talking about the day's events. We're going to do some of what I'm doing, the talk radio show. We'll do some topical stuff. We'll find out what's been going on. We're kind of in a bit of an interesting fallow period now between the votes at the weekend and the next couple of days of intense Brexit. So I thought, we're going to pull back a little bit, and we're not going to do too much Brexit tonight. We're going to talk about it all night. A bit of Harry and Meghan to talk about before 5 o'clock this morning. Also, we're going to speak to a woman who has written a book. book for plants, because apparently, so there's some more news today.
I'm sorry, a book for plants to read.
Go with it, Howard, go with
it. Sorry, no, listen, I do the unexplained, I can take it, it's fine.
The truth is very tame in your life.
Nothing, I can tell you stories. Sorry, book for plants.
Yeah, so she's written a book for plants because there's some more research today that has concluded that plants do in fact grow better when you speak to them. And so she's going to, if you've got a house plant, we're going to do this before too, if you've got a house plant, position the radio by the plant. We're going to get this woman to read her, but don't laugh. We're going to get, but we're going to get this woman to read her, her plant stories to your plants via the radio.
Oh my okay? God.
So I think do that before.
I can honestly say, Daryl, it probably has never been done before. And I have to say, I'm not as dismissive of it as you might be.
I think you are
mother,
a little bit dismissive of it. And now I'm regretting the follow. No. I can always click unfollow, Howard.
My mother used to talk to her amaryllis. Don't answer that. Daryl Morris here, after the news for 1 o'clock on Talk Radio. So there we are. Another segment of my life flashes by. Hayley Hayes is Hayley Hayes. Thank you, Hayley. I'm Howard Hughes. See you tomorrow night.
We are Talk Radio.